WBC. The Tri-Cities to the Ferry Terminals.
Well, we got to go home and play our best game in Game 5. That's what we have to do. We have to win one game.
This is the starting lineup with James Cebulski.
Up again. Big chance here in front. Scores!
Perry Solkowski.
Here's Marchand over the line left side looking for Pastrnak. Deflected. They score!
Rick Dhaliwal.
But I thought we had good energy. I think three of the four games we've had real good energy and did lots of good things. Just got in our own way a little bit here today.
On Sportsnet 650.
And the crowd stands and salutes 99 one more time.
The best player on any ice surface in any rink at any time.
How you doing, everybody? It is Thursday. For us, it's kind of a Friday. Long weekend, holiday weekend.
Why, kinda?
Chocolate weekend.
Oh, I don't even know there'll be any chocolate in the house this weekend. I'm usually the guy who determines and demands that we have some chocolate in there.
But not anymore.
Wouldn't mind a little bit of something. Not anymore.
Between, like, everywhere, it's, like, you've been on a keto diet for...
Yeah.
Since the beginning. When did you start? You started January 1st?
You know
1st?
What? We had that Canucks alumni event, hockey event that for Canucks Autism.
Yes.
So I was going to start just before that. I kind of started, but I knew I might be around beer. We emceed that draft. I don't think I had any beer. And
is that January?
Yeah. Like last week of January. And then the following weekend was Super Bowl. So I kind of started, but not full in. I had dipped my toe in the pool, shall they say.
And so, Ricky's been on a diet since last – Ricky, you kind of started what, last July?
Summer. Last summer.
So, like, I walk into Costco doing my monthly run into Costco yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's just I usually take a drive by the book section just to see what's there. Maybe Brent needs something new. Maybe the kids, you know, grab something for them. But, like, it's – keto books.
Oh, is it really?
Everywhere I go, keto books. I went into the mall the other day in one of those stores that the kids are so jacked up to go and check out. It's the products that as seen on TV, right? You know, the stuff that all the infomercials and the stuff they're selling that you've seen on TV, right? What's on the front shelf right when you walk in? Keto books. Keto book. Keto pills. Keto supplements. Keto snack.
But you know the thing is,
everything's keto,
yeah,
man.
But it's new marketing, right? It's so essentially it's just a low-carb diet. Which was the Atkins diet 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And so 20 years ago, I think I probably have an Atkins book somewhere on my shelf, right? So it's like everything else. It's a cycle.
Yes. Let's change the cover and we'll change Atkins to keto.
Let's call it this and we'll see if we can do it. And in 20 years from now, someone will be doing it again. It's like the cabbage soup. I can't remember
the
being
soup.
A kid.
My mother was on the soup diet 20 years ago.
Exactly. Oh. So was my mom, probably 40 years ago. She'd make the soup that you could, you know, fill a bathtub with.
Tastes like a dirty sock.
Yeah.
But eat as much as, the more you eat, you lose.
You could have as much as you want because all it was cabbage and tomato.
Yeah.
I think it was the cabbage soup diet now that I think about it. But, yeah, keto's everywhere. I mean, obviously, I had a different day yesterday because Rick was body shaming me. And I went on the treadmill and ran.
Boy, there were a lot of people. I got messages from a lot of people talking about, yeah, man, a lot of men.
I ran for an hour, and then I haven't even seen any sports because I sat for 8 hours in a steam room. I went in looking like Popeye, came out looking like olive oil.
So do you wear do you wear a sports bra when you go for a run?
I'm wearing a corset today.
Look what you've caused, Dhaliwal. Here.
And tomorrow, my wife and I, if the stores are open on Good Friday, we're going to buy Spanx.
A boost, yeah.
Hey, Dhaliwal, my wife was shocked. When I told her what happened, she was shocked. First, she said, do you work on a radio show? And then she said, wow, that's mean. She thought you were talking about the character picture. I said, no, honey, he's talking about a real picture. She goes, that's terrible. I said, yeah, that's Dhaliwal.
Oh, see what you've done?
It's an issue. You have a problem. You got to fix it.
Yeah, no, we're okay.
Some people go to a Betty Ford clinic for issues, and you need to go to the gym.
I do. I got consultants.
That's cold, man. Like, that is fully aggressive.
It's not cold. I'm as a co-worker, I'm doing you a favor. I'm helping you out.
Did they say tough love? Tough love.
It's the Rogers Health and Wellness Policy.
Hey, I tell you.
A new thing in HR, right? They just go call up somebody. Hey, you know what? You got a muffin top going there, Sabalski. You need to tighten that up.
Yeah, what are you coming in? James, could you come in and could you wear Armor All? We just want to take a peek, a little Under Armour. And
yeah.
Just want to see what you're looking like.
Yeah.
Gosh, good thing we're not working in TV anymore. You know what, though? Speaking of keto, so I had to have a meeting, and I was at Boston Pizza watching all the games and doing our business. They have cauliflower pizza now. Cauliflower crust. Remember
BP does?
Yeah. And so.
And is it overpriced?
Yeah, I didn't look. You can only get the individual
Boston
size.
Pizza's not
Boston
cheap,
pizza's
man.
Always overpriced. And,
unless you get the kids' meal card, unless you get the kids' meal where you get like five kids' meals for like $5.
Yeah.
Everything else is like expensive.
And they had the big screen on, and it wasn't even showing the game of the day. We had to make them change all that. Yeah, Boston Pizza's overpriced. No problems with Treleving, and the Trelevings are working on other things right now with the Flames. But it's pretty good. So all the guys I was with, I cut them a little slice. I said, have some. They couldn't tell the difference. That's healthy for you.
It's still good?
Yeah, oh no, I loved it.
Still,
I would have it again. Here's the thing with keto. It's supposed to be a lifestyle. I mean, at least that's what the cult, David Koresh tells us, our boss from Waco, Texas, who's turned us into this cult.
More Heaven's Gate or more David Koresh?
No, I think we'll see one day if there's a lot of, hang on, no one's here. We need to fill in. What happened?
If everybody shows up wearing, lying there dead with khakis on.
They've died of ketosis. Get rid of them. They can't, their body.
Drinking Kool-Aid.
Yes, yeah. Their cholesterol is through the roof. But no, it was good.
Man boobs, also known as gynecomastia or gyno, from the Greek words gyneko, which means woman, and mastia, which means breast, is a predicament that many young guys are faced with every day.
You're not alone. You're not alone, and that's what I'm trying to say.
I wonder if there's a camp.
You're not alone. This is a big issue. It's everywhere. I got it in my 30s, late 30s. I noticed you get it in your late 30s, and it's very tough to get rid of.
But you got rid of yours.
I got rid of it, but it when your golf shirts are the worst, and there's a lot of guys in the sports media that have it. We're not the only – I mean, you're not the only one, but anyways, there's guys –
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm okay.
There's other guys in the media that have the same issue.
Oh, there's a lot of media guys. There's a lot of out-of-shape media guys.
Yes.
Oh. Well,
I don't know how many.
We're getting
guys
better,
work
I think,
here.
As a whole, but definitely baseball writers were kind of the worst for a long time.
Well, it's tough. I mean, you know what it's like when you travel? You have to have a pretty good regimen for anybody that travels a lot, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a businessman traveling, you have to be pretty dedicated. I ought to wake up at 5 and get my exercise in because then I'm in meetings at 6. And what do they have at all the meetings? Here's some sandwiches here and there. So you've got to. It's discipline.
Well, it's also what you were served too, right? I think it's better now. But the old school media meals is essentially just fries and chips and cookies and
stuff
that all tastes good, but not exactly great for you health wise.
I remember, Dallas played at home yesterday, but I would love going to Dallas. Their media meal, you would have deep fried chicken with like big white gravy. And, you'd always go, well, when in Rome.
Yeah.
All right, give me a little more of that chicken and the gravy, right? Any more grits around here? This is fantastic, right? It didn't do you any good. And then you'd stand and watch a game or sit and watch a game for 3 hours. Something to eat after the game. Yeah, I'm starved.
Yeah.
Wrote a couple of things.
Well, what's
talked
open?
Talked for 2 minutes.
What's open, right?
Yeah, what's
something
open?
Something with wings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, wings and a beer. Excellent. Okay, I'll meet you for breakfast, right? And then you depart, and it's 2 in the morning. What time are you going for breakfast? Really? What have you done? Nothing.
Sweet F.A. Yeah. From a hell. You know what? I'm going to sleep in because I wound up having – I stayed for last call.
Yeah.
Right?
And then I'm just going to go get my coffee and my donut, and I'll meet you and hope at the pregame skate they've got more coffee and donuts there for us to have.
Yeah. I got to run and grab a pack of darts, though, first before I get there.
Yeah. I mean,
Model
we're,
of health.
Weren't the healthiest crew.
It is Thursday, April the 18th. Lots to get to over the course of the morning. Brian Burke joins us, as he always does, on Thursday mornings, a little after 7 o'clock. Eric Francis will join us. It is a travel day, and it is do or die for the Calgary Flames in their series against the Colorado Avalanche. How about this? The Lightning and the Flames, the top two teams in the NHL this season, are a combined 1-7 through the first 8 games together. in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Just like we all saw coming, right?
You know, I like it, and there's part of me now that is rooting for Carolina to get rid of the Stanley Cup champs, just so you can see Columbus, Carolina, Long Island, throw in Toronto or Boston. It doesn't matter. I would like to see Toronto simply because they haven't been there, and then you bring in Colorado. You know, in a sense, although, you know, you don't want to go against Canadian teams, I think it'd be neat to have St. Louis in there. Boy, we could have eight teams in the second round where it's almost like the NCAA bracket. No one fills out the perfect bracket. I don't know how many people would have taken these 16 teams and said these eight will advance after the first 2 weeks.
No, that's why everybody's bracket's busted right about
well,
now.
Yeah,
we'll continue to be a Calgary bounced.
You might be able to win a playoff pool with like 35 points.
They're all over Johnny Gaudreau, boy. One assist in four games, 99 points in the regular season. They're all over Johnny Gaudreau right now in Calgary.
And I wonder if that's going to turn into the narrative of, you know, diminutive small playmakers, great to have, and everything you want coming in the regular season, but then bigger and tougher, you know, to get it done.
Wasn't that the knock on Daniel and Henrik? Come playoff time?
Sense.
Right?
Mike Gillis, first ever press conference. I don't know if you can win a Stanley Cup with Daniel and Henrik. And, hey, you know, he came back to kind of retract that statement because they led the way. But you're right. That was always the narrative. Are they tough enough to get it done?
His playoff numbers are not good. In 2016, four games, two assists. Four games, one assist right now. So.
Well, they have to took a bad penalty at the end. But when you've got a power play, if you're Johnny Gaudreau, then anytime there's a man advantage, you better make sure that you're producing point-wise. It was like the Sedins in 2011. You needed to score on power play opportunities. You don't have to be tough, right? If they're going to be playoff hockey after the whistle, pushing and shoving, glove in your face, and they get a penalty, toughness can be how do you hurt them? Well, hurt them on the PK, but if or hurt them on the power play. But if you don't, then you question, well, they were just pushed around. Never got anything for it.
We've got $500 up for grabs today in North Vancouver as we close out the week. It's we're closing things out a day early because tomorrow, Good Friday, we will not have a show tomorrow, at least on this end of things. Eric Francis has mentioned we'll get to that
we'll
a little after 8 o'clock.
Best of show. Tosh, is that we're doing the best of? So the show tomorrow is a minute long.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah, we're going to repeat. It's going to be a minute. We're going to play it for 3.5 hours. Where was the best of? What did you find for the best of? Nothing.
Yeah. Just going to run Rick updates there.
We can run Svechnikov, a 19-year-old getting beat up by a 33-year-old. We can run that for a whole hour.
That was your best of? That's the tough. That is the sentence that the producers, Mikey and Kellen, fear when they go, hey, just put together the best of. And then those guys just go, are you serious? Have you listened to the show? The best of? What are we going to find?
So somebody didn't have their coffee this morning here at 6:50. None of your 10 listeners give a rat's ass about your diet.
Well, thanks for being one of the 10.
One of the 10. Thanks for being one of the 10.
Thanks for taking the time to text us at 5:40 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
None of the 10. Let me take some. I'm going to stop what I'm doing because I hate this show so much and text the guys.
I'm going to engage in it. Yeah.
One of the 10.
I love those
You're
guys.
One of the 10, buddy.
There you go.
That's like the guy who.
The 10%.
The guy who starts texting in the first segment of the show goes, no one listens, and then he texts in six more times over the next 3 hours.
Thank you. We appreciate you boosting the audience here bright and early this morning. You know what? That might be an early candidate for a winner. We are bringing our winners to you on this Thursday edition, and we'll bring it to you next here on your home of Vancouver hockey and diets. The audience has grown at this time, gentlemen.
Well, we only have 10 listeners, and listener number two, we appreciate it. They just checked in, so... Yeah, if we can get our 10 listeners to all check in, we're probably all just going to go for breakfast, right? Got it done. Don't need the microphones. We'll do the show live for them with no microphones.
Yeah, we're broadcasting live from your living room this morning. Congratulations, listener number two.
Yeah, listener number two. So
join the party. Time for the winners. James Cebulski, Perry Sulkowski, Rick Dhaliwal. Perry, why don't you kick off the party for us here on this Thursday?
Who was my winner? I can't remember. Yeah, no, I know where it is.
Your physio guy.
Yeah, and all that. The person who built.
Oh, don't talk about
it.
Diets, or we'll lose another guy.
Yeah, texting in.
Oh my God!
Listen, a little overtime. Last night, you can't go wrong with some overtime. Boy, Mike Smith was incredible as far as goaltending was concerned. But how about we go the other way? The man in the Avs nets.
In comes Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk winds in. Loose puck back when jams away. Shoots. Oh, what a stop. Eckermeyer. Rebound. Loose and puck. What a save. Oh, Giordano a chance. That was blocked in front.
Matthew Tkachuk gets the puck through to Backlund. Watch the left pad of Grubauer. He's going to lift it up here to make the stop on Michael Backlund to save the contest.
Not sure who the announcer was, but what he was trying to get a point was great goaltending by Philip Grubauer. Here's a story that, you know, last year it was all really, you take a year removed from a game four, he's sitting on the bench looking at Holtby going, well, I had my chance starting for the Washington Capitals, lost the first two. And now I'm going to watch Holtby. And, hey, you had to celebrate your Stanley Cup win. You were part of that championship, but it was in spite of you. You had wrestled away that job in Washington. And I wasn't sure that the Avs picking him up was going to be the great deal. But here he is. There's been some really good goaltending stories in the playoffs. He hasn't been sensational. He's just been really strong. And I think it's a nice redemption story. We've talked about it with Leonard and what he's done in the New York Islanders and everything. But Grubauer's kind of lost in the shuffle of how good McKinnon is and Ratnett is and how good that Avs team is. Hey, you need solid goaltending. Philip Grubauer is giving it to
Philip
him.
Grubauer, Sergei Bobrovsky could have been this year's, you know, Philip Grubauer, right?
Yeah.
Down 3-0 in the first period against the Lightning in game one, and they stayed the course, and the rest is history for round number one. Mike Smith, though, 49 saves, and it still wasn't enough because Grubauer kept his team in it. Like, there were some filthy saves. That was a really fun game to watch, and that's a tough loss because Calgary had their chances and then some. They just ran into a better goaltender last night, and that's, and what does that say considering their goaltender, who everybody, what was the biggest knock on the Calgary Flames going into this? What was the biggest question mark about the Flames? Offense? No. Defense? No, because you probably got the Norris Trophy winner on their back end this year. Goaltending. You question, do you trust David Riddick or do you trust Mike Smith?
Mm-hmm.
And
he had a
redemption
game yesterday.
That's been the least of their problems.
Well, hey, hold it a second. They've given up 161. He's made 161 saves in four games, so I would say defense is a problem. You don't want to be giving up 40 shots a game in the playoffs.
But, Ricky, this was, but it was,
Something's wrong there.
But nobody thought that it would be a problem for the Flames into this. But they've been exposed by foot speed.
Oh, Colorado is so fast. Oh, my goodness. Really fast.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, we'll talk to Eric Francis of Sportsnet Calgary at 8 o'clock. I don't. They're not winning.
You look at the way the Canucks are going, they got to get faster. I mean, look at Colorado. They're just causing the Flames all sorts of problems with their speed.
It shouldn't be a surprise for most people, but it is a surprise for a lot of people to see how good Nathan McKinnon is in a big stage.
I would categorize
He went first
like
overall.
That.
It's not like we didn't know he was going to be a good player.
And that's it. But compared to – so look at the knock on Johnny Gaudreau right now that you just alluded to. Gaudreau has struggled, right? There's been too many passengers for the top scorers for the Calgary Flames. I'd say Mark Giordano hasn't looked great in this series, he's been exposed by what Nathan McKinnon and company for the Colorado Avalanche have done.
Well, what was the conversation for most of the regular season? You know, Crosby, McDavid, who do you go? Where do you go to? Nathan McKinnon wasn't in that conversation. Well, now I think he's starting to prove that in that breath, you better bring Nathan McKinnon up as who do you want to build a team around?
Yeah.
And this Makar kid on the blue line, not only is he fat, he's big. I didn't know that he was that big. Like, he's lugging the puck up the ice for a big guy. Holy
smokes.
Well,
we certainly know in this city what it's like to watch a Colorado team kind of dominate a Vancouver team for a long time. You know, when Olsenich would come in and they would just kind of run roughshod, Joe Sakic doing his thing. I'm going blank on Milan Hayduk. Used to light up the Canucks constantly, right?
Total.
You just wonder. This is going to be a good battle if the Canucks get bitty. That Colorado team might be as fun as you can find.
And Colorado, the future looks bright, and they got the fourth overall pick this year, which could be Bowen Byram, and who knows. But, man, the Avalanche, their future looks bright.
And it's the quiet Joe Sakic, right?
Yeah.
Well, and Joe Sakic, there was an article written in the Denver Post 2 years ago, fire this guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He just got the job because he's a Hall of Fame guy in this town. Yep. And Joe Sakic quietly went from dead last in the NHL to you know, a team that's on the verge of knocking out, you know, the top seed in the West.
Ricky, what do you got this morning?
It's all these listeners calling in. We got Red 5 standing by. 11, Matt from Ridge. Listener number 3 here, love your show and banter. Listen every morning, keep it up. Philip in Ridgewell. Wow. We got Christopher stuck in traffic. He wrote us a dictionary in terms of a text. We'll get to it on the other side of the hour. But all these people, we got 10 listeners and 7 of them have checked in.
I'm a little, check in again because we want to get all 10. It's kind of like roll call.
Yeah, but 11, Matt's 11. Oh. So the guy that started this said none of your 10 listeners give a rat's ass about the diet. Your diet.
Yeah, my diet.
Your
it's the station's diet.
Mr. Well, Sportsnet 650 is going to be happy to know that we've got a 10% spike in the audience.
Yeah, we've
today.
Already.
That's been a good Thursday. We've got
Matt,
11 listeners.
Matt from Maple Ridge is our 11th listener. So right now.
Thank you, Matt.
You know, Matt,
it's
thank you.
Matt, it's like we should be giving you a prize like you're the millionth person to come through YVR Airport.
Know, I know
we've
Nasir.
Now got to 11.
You know, and this is where I feel good that Nasir and our friends over at Surrey Honda, like they have got their money's worth. Like, we've just added
11.
Another listener.
Yeah.
You guys need 11. To stick to sports. You're bored up. That's Tochkin.
Tochkin ripping us.
What do you mean? Hey.
What? Tochkin, I don't know if we can include you as a listener. Because you're barely paying attention half the time.
Is that really
I'm
Tochkin?
One of the 10.
Are you really Tochkin? Is that you? Or are you just somebody text that in?
What, did you get a new phone from
That's
Rogers
me.
You wanted to use?
No, you got a 778 number. That's not you.
Wow.
Hey, just real quick, I'll get to mine, and it is Vlad Guerrero Jr., my winner.
Love for you and everybody else at the Advocacy Center to devote so much time.
Guerrero goes after the first pitch from Pointer and hits it high in the air to deep left field, up over everything. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. blasting a solo home run into the parking lot here at McCoy Stadium. And the Bisons grab another run. It's now 8-4 Buffalo here in the fourth. Wow.
A moonshot by Vladdy Jr. And finally, I think the Jays have recognized enough is enough. And it's going to happen. And it sounds like it's probably going to happen just in the next few days. He's hitting. In 2019, he's hitting close to 400. Another home run. He's got 20 at-bats in AAA right now. They're just looking at the schedule. There's rain in the forecast in Buffalo. I think they'd like to show him off quickly, but Jays take on the A's coming up, so I think you'll see him. The speculation is you could see him by the 23rd, but even Charlie Montoyo's even suggested that. Okay, I'm going to see him up.
Hey, quickly, Prince George Spruce Kings won the BC Hockey League title last night, beat Vernon. 13 local kids from the Lower Mainland on that team. That's a heavy, heavy Vancouver team. Good for them. And they won the title last night in Vernon. 16-1. They went in the playoffs to win the BC Hockey League title. That's a good hockey town and good for them.
And Escops just signed in as the 12th list.
Yeah, we got the 12th.
We got 20%. We've got 20% a 20% up. Increase before we go into the holiday weekend.
It's been a good day.
We are killing it.
We're going to ask for a raise.
12.
We're going to ask for a raise.
12. What if we get to the teens?
Here we go.
Unstoppable.
Contract time, people. Contract time. Coming up in a moment, we'll go around the horn in the National Hockey League playoffs. check in. Tough night for the Canadian teams. We'll look ahead to tonight as well. It's all coming up here on your home of Vancouver hockey. Thank you, all 11 of our listeners. Sportsnet 650.
Now more of the starting lineup with James Cebulski, Perry Solkowski, and Rick Dhaliwal.
One shot on the power play for the Flames. Backlund feeds it in to Neal. Batted away by Barry. Neal puts it behind the net. Nemec lost control, but following up is Barry to take it back. And they get it up. In comes Landeskog. Soderberg. Randonen scores!
Flames backs against the wall and a little drizzle.
Well,
both from the sky and at the Scotiabank Arena last night, guys. Drake, like, the last person you want showing up to cheer for your team right now is Drake.
Well, I don't get this guy. I mean, he just shows up and he hogs all the highlights, you know, video. I mean, he's just, I don't know if he's another PK Subban who just loves.
He's incredibly talented. But I think people are getting tired of Drake.
Well, is it the overexposure?
Yeah,
or not?
Like you don't need to see it every, you know, at national championship football games on the side. Show up in Toronto, that's your hometown. But I don't need to see you everywhere else.
Well, he doesn't seem to help your team win if he's cheering for your team, right? And look no further than the Toronto Raptors. So the Raptors, since 2013, when he became a global ambassador, they've kind of picked up a bit of a reputation of not being able to win the big one in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for the last 6 years, the Raptors always seem to look at their history against LeBron, right? Fold. Always struggling to win the big game. So the other day, you had Kurzawa with Paris Saint-Germain. He poses for a picture with Drake. Well, what happens the very next game? PSG gets absolutely curb-stomped by Lille, 5-1. So that prompts Roma in Serie A to post a tweet saying, all Roma players are banned from taking pictures with Drake until the end of the season. They've looked at this and they say, you know what? We want none of this. Look at this curse, though. Remember Serena Williams was linked to Drake for a while?
Yeah.
She was on the cusp of, like, becoming the first woman to win all four tennis Grand Slams in a calendar year since Steffi Graf did it, like, almost 30 years ago at the time. And here she is in 2015 at the U.S. Open playing Roberta Vinci. Remember Roberta Vinci? A 300-1 underdog. Drake watching all sorts of Serena
that
at the time.
That was when she was dating
Serena
Drake,
loses.
Eh? Wow.
Serena loses in 2015. 300-1 underdog, and she lost.
Yeah, that would be your biggest case.
Conor McGregor last year going into his big fight, big blood rivalry with Nurmagomedov. Khabib knocks out Conor. Who was
like
the
Drake.
Flamboyant
like
Irishman?
I hate the Drake.
I love the Drake.
How could you not like the Drake?
Who's the Drake?
Who's the Drake?
The Drake is good.
Oh. People hate the Drake. Conor McGregor hanging out with him the night before the fight. And guess what happens? He gets KO'd.
It was great when he became, you know, the Raptors ambassador. You're loving Toronto. You're doing your thing. But now, just stay with one team. You can't be going all over the place. And I understand you love sports. Go to the games. There's a lot of actors that love their sports that don't need to love them some big screen time. Everybody see me. Drake's got a little.
You know, basketball guys are visible, right? Spike, Jack, over the years.
Courtside.
Billy Crystal for the Clippers.
We don't have that for Canucks or Lions games or Whitecaps.
I remember Kevin Sorbo used to be a fixture for Vancouver Canucks games.
What was that? What was he? Thor or what was that?
He was Hercules.
He was Hercules.
And then I believe Andromeda.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? We can handle our misconducts later. It's to the guy who now is taking credit. You know, we were into the show for like 2 minutes, and we were talking diet, and this guy texts in, none of your 10 listeners care about your diet. And then we said, wow, we got 10 listeners, and we thank you. Everybody's been jumping in on it, listener 12. We've got a listener in Montreal, which is quite interesting how they get that. But everybody popping up to see if we can get to 10, and we're now up to 12 listeners, so we've got a 20% increase.
Well, Richmond.
And now Buddy stops back and goes, hey, none of your 10 listeners cared about that. See, you talk hockey, and all of a sudden you double your listeners.
Oh, he's back. And Kenny in Richmond is our 12th listener. But we also had a text right now. Let's be honest, all three of you guys have man titties.
I can hear Kotchkin laughing all the way in the other room.
All three of us.
Hang on, all five of us maybe in this show.
There's one guy in this building with a problem. He's sitting next to my right. I don't have that problem. So,
no.
Hey, buddy, all
Cebulski
three of us.
Cebulski doesn't. Cebulski's chest is kind of enclave. You do look like olive oil. I look like Popeye. You've got the olive oil.
Cebulski weighs 90 pounds. How can you have man titties? You can't.
No, it just all sits around my hips.
Man boobs, also known as gynecomastia or gyno from the Greek words gyneko, which means woman, and mastia, which means breast, is a predicament that many young guys are faced with every day.
You're not alone, Perry. That's why I'm trying to help you and tell you that there's a vast majority of the public has the problem you have, and I'm trying to help you, guide you through this. And I would expect the same from you to me. I didn't want to make this public, but I have to get some help for you.
What would you like me to help you with? How long is the laundry?
Perry's just lost 20 pounds. Like, what more do you want him to do?
That picture was yesterday.
It was bad posture, as someone pointed out.
Leaf fan Steve is our 13th listener.
Oh, we got we got to the teens. What a day this is going to be.
This is a bit. You know,
this is an unbelievable day.
We're hopping this morning. In fact, you know what? And it's last call this week for North Van as well, because we're in your hood.
Yes.
$500 later on this morning. And North Van starting lineup, the Lynn Valley Little League AAA White Sox held off the Astros 9-7 to go 2-0 on the season against the Stros. So You got $500 you're qualified for. We're going to announce that winner at 8:30 today, Pear. And we've been going all across Metro Vancouver for the last year.
Yeah, we have. And you know where we're going next week. So, North Van, you got a couple hours to get in. A nice job, by the White Sox. 9-7, that's a thriller. Good start to the year for them.
Pitching might be an issue still for the White Sox.
Well, it is, you know, but it's early in the year, no. Right? They got to figure what they got coming out of the bullpen and all that. But that's a big win for them, and to get the game in because it's nasty weather out there. This is terrible. Like, when's the golf course is going to be open? Am I up at Westwood Plateau? I don't know if we're opening that baby up. May 1st.
Not open yet?
No. They said May 1st, but it's raining constantly. I got some serious yard problems I got to deal with. Anyways.
Yard problems are the least of your problems.
So well, maybe it'll help out. I work in the yard. It'll help me with
the
man
boobs. If you work
boobs.
In the yard, you might drop some pounds in your chest. Listen, Jim Benning yesterday.
Yeah.
With Post Media. This caught the attention of many Canuck fans. He was asked about the tough, rough hockey in the playoffs. And has he noticed that? And Jim Benning said, yeah, the playoffs are fast. We've had those. They're physical. They're hard. We've had those conversations this week because some of our skilled players aren't the biggest guys. Do we need to make sure we surround them with players who can supply the physicality as well as being good enough players to help our younger guys develop? Oh, yeah, the answer is yes. So automatically, Canuck fans assume, here we go again with Michael Ferland and Wayne Simmons.
Don't go to Wayne Simmons.
Just listen to me. Do you go, this team needs more skill? But then you go back to Pettersson in Florida. And then people whine there wasn't a reaction that physically at that time. So, yes, they need more physicality in the top six. I agree.
That's hard to find.
But a guy like Ryan Getzlaff, is that's the type of guy they should be looking for. But those guys don't grow on trees.
Because, that you know, if you take that statement, Ricky, and we move it back to 2018, you would go, they're going to have to get bigger, and they could do it on the bottom six, which I think they feel with Rossell, with Beagle, they've got bigger and can play the game. But you're looking at your skill guys, you know, do we need to get a little bigger because it's bigger and faster? Well, hang on here. You only got your top six to kind of fill in. You're loaded with bottom six forwards. You got to move some. You've got so many. So how do you find? Nice to say, Getzlaff. You know, nice to talk about those guys. But where do you find them?
And everyone's
looking.
Landeskog in Colorado. There's a big skill guy, yeah. And he can play both ways. But look at Colorado last night. It's all skill and speed. You know, and they don't necessarily have that. I'm not saying goon, but that tough guy in the top six. And Jim Benning came from the big bad Boston Bruins.
But who's getting ripped right now for, you know, as a skill guy who's being a lack of productivity? It's Johnny Gaudreau, right?
Yeah.
There's a skill. All of a sudden, like, the game changes, yeah. Right? And here is the slippery slope, because the notion of just making the playoffs, of just getting in at one time, it's like, well, you don't want to be an 8 seed. You just get your ass kicked to get out. And I believe we'll talk to Brian Berg about
that. How many times do we hear that? Yeah.
Ryan, I think, used to preach that back in the day. And we'll talk to Brian in an hour from now here on the starting lineup. But, you know, now it's just get in, right? Just ask Columbus. But, just get in.
Yeah, come on.
You know, ask Colorado.
Don't expect don't expect 8 to beat 1 every year, James.
No, but you know what? The LA Kings did it. The Oilers were an 8 seed in 06, and they came a game away to win the Stanley Cup. No, it's not. These are not unicorn moments anymore. Well, right? It's not that rare that low seeds are now having success.
And playoff success and regular season success. I mean, we could have your top two seeds gone in the next 60 minutes. So do you look at Tampa Bay and go, okay, that's an anomaly, what happened to them? Or do you look and go, I want to build my team a little bit more like Columbus than Tampa Bay, because skill and finesse didn't get them anywhere when it meant something?
Look, Michael Ferland, I'm telling you right now, okay, if the Canucks are interested in this guy, and I know everyone doesn't want Wayne Simmons here because he's older.
Well, he's also struggled mightily here in the last few months.
They better pray that if they get a tough guy, that he plays in the top six every night. Because if he drops to the bottom six, they're going to get absolutely ripped. You better be 100% sure, if you're going to get Ferland, that he plays in your top six every single game. All right? Because they already got a guy named Erickson playing on the fourth line, and they had a guy named Roussel playing in the top six. So their top six, bottom six is all screwed up. But if you're going to sign Ferland, you better do your homework, and you better pray to God he plays in the top six every night.
And could you not see a guy like Ferland kind of bouncing? And I like the idea of a player like that who can bring a little skill and who has 20-goal capability, also can be physical. You know, he hasn't set the world on fire so far in these first three games of the playoffs for the Carolina Hurricanes. And the Canes, yeah, have been good, but, you know, it's still early.
He's not going to get signed July 1st because of his playoffs. He's going to get July 1st because of his body of work in the last 3, 4, 5 years. And let's be honest. But the Canucks, Jim Benning's appetite for size will never end. I mean, and Tom Wilson, the King Clancy Memorial Trophy nominee for the Washington Capitals, those guys don't grow on trees. Tom Wilson, and you want to know if Tom Wilson was a UFA on July 1st, there'd be 30 teams calling him.
I was talking to a scout yesterday, just said, I think it's just going to stay the course. It's the toughest thing will just to be patient here in Vancouver to see. Yeah, a guy like Ferland, yeah, great, but there's a guy with the 120 goal season, and you're going to get him, Ricky, and as you say, you're going to... You wonder sometimes, you know, you're automatic. Ferland's a top six guy because if not, now you've just added to that bottom six. So I'd be curious to see how many people are going after him.
I've talked to, I'm telling you, Ferland is going to get term. He's going to get term, and going to want term.
He's 26, 27 years of age, and he's going to the open market. So why wouldn't you lock him up for long term because of the age that he's at? He's going to get. You'll give him length. You'll give him length with that. You know, and what's the other thought to say, hey, you can add a little more physicality and grit up front and address maybe some scoring capabilities on the back end in Vancouver, right? I mean, Quinn Hughes is a guy that's supposed to help change the fortunes of Vancouver. The one thing that they have lacked in a big, big way is guys who can jump up in the rush, guys who can contribute offensively from that back end. And they haven't had much of it. I mean, Alex Edler was essentially their best offensive option for the last few years. And even Alex Edler is what he is from an offensive standpoint. He's okay, but he's not setting the world on fire. Well, and that's where, you know what, there goes back to the conversation of an Erik Karlsson. And I know there's a lot of people that are reluctant on Erik Karlsson, but I don't think that Erik Karlsson after 7 years is going to go off a cliff by 35. Like, look at Mark Giordano. Right? Like, Mark Giordano is on the cusp of winning the Norris Trophy this year, and there's a 35-year-old defenseman. Is Brett Burns still effective at 34 years of age as an NHL defenseman? They're different types of guys, but, you know, Erik Karlsson will not lose the offensive ability that he has to put up 60 points minimally a year by the time he's 34, 35 years old.
He's also been on the ice for 13 of the 15 goals San Jose's given
up.
Yes,
but you know what? Is that not – but do you not have
not
to accept – But do you not accept the risk for an offensive defenseman? Like, just wait this season, people. Just wait. Quinn Hughes is going to have turnovers, and he's going to have an awful lot of turnovers because guys who have the puck on their stick, guys who are offensive-minded defensemen, tend to have turnovers. Look at Jovo. Look at Jovanovski. Ed Jovanovski could get you 50 points over the course of a season in the National Hockey League during what was considered a dead puck era. But there was a guy who... How many times Ed Jovanovski, Riverboat Gambler? I mean, he was kind of considered PK Subban before PK was, right? PK turns it over, but you get 50, 60 points out of him.
Well, it's all fair and good to talk about a Ferland and how he helped and a Karlsson and how he helped. Like Brian Burke said, he'll join us in an hour's time. Last week, Burke said when he worked in Calgary, one of the toughest things was to deal with, you know, people coming to Canada, not necessarily media exposure. He said a lot of players that he had that he would talk to said, I don't want to come simply because of taxes. Take that into consideration. But let's also take in consideration you're Michael Ferland. Do you look at Vancouver and go, this is a great place to be? Yeah, maybe in 4 or 5 years. When the Canucks were perennial favorites, you could go into a July 1st and go, hey, they'll add something. Dan Hamme is taking a discount to come because he's close to a Stanley Cup. That's what these guys dream of. They don't dream of being part of year two on a rebuild.
Okay, then why would Karlsson? Everybody, did I not say this yesterday? Why would Karlsson want to come to Vancouver?
Ricky, that's what I'm saying.
Why would Karlsson want to come here?
I don't think Vancouver is the destination point for a lot of these free agents. They'll listen, but boy, unless the term and the money's crazy, I don't think they're coming. I think Jay Beagle was the exception, but he got an extra year out of it.
Look at Tyson Berry last night, the kid from Victoria.
Oh, he'd be great.
You know what? He's not making $9 million. He's making $5 million, and he's getting 50, 60 points every year, and the kid's phenomenal.
Well, and if they get Bo Byram at $4 million, Tyson Berry's at some point, Colorado can't afford everybody.
And neither can Vancouver. After Pedersen, Besser, and Quinn Hughes, their money dries up too.
They'll be in that spot eventually. But that's why a lot of people think what's available in 2020, if Tyson Berry doesn't sign up, a little better than what they have defensively.
With this Kale McCarr kid, maybe Tyson Berry in 12 months becomes available.
This, you know what, to try to predict what a contract, what a guy might look like getting to market –
it's too tough.
In 15 but months from now, to. Like that feels like a real pie in the sky thought to say, like, you don't think Colorado's noticing, like, what everybody here, what we're talking about here, you don't think the Avalanche are looking going, hey, you know what? This kid's pretty good, you know? Like,
you know.
But what are you saying? Kale McCarr is good or?
Kale McCarr is good, but I'm just the idea of letting Tyson Berry walk.
No, I know, but at some point you've got to look at a situation and go, you know, you've got to look ahead and go, can we afford to? I agree with you, James. You know, oh, we can't afford them. Eventually they're going to be in that situation, but that may not be right
now. And I'll say this, like just to point out, look at the Avalanche and their contract situation. They are amazing. Like just Nathan MacKinnon, his 4 more years at $6.3 million. Is there a better bargain? And we've talked about some bargains. We laugh about, oh, Bo Horvat. You love it at 5.5 for Bo Horvat.
Well,
Nathan MacKinnon, 4 more years after this season, 6.3. Landeskog's 5.5. Rantanen will change that narrative because his ELC's up here, and he will get paid in a big way. But MacKinnon and Landeskog, your two anchors for a few more years, you've got a cap window now to take advantage in a big way.
Well, and Pasternak, but does the housing market stay the same every year? The market changes. Mm-hmm. And Besser...
Well, you can't use the housing market as an example right now.
Okay, but you can over the years.
Yes.
And Besser's agent represents Rantanen, and he represents Laine. And, okay, those three are all going to get paid. Okay, so the market changes. And Pasternak's better than all those guys, but he signed when he signed in a different market.
I wouldn't say Pasternak's better than Nathan MacKinnon.
No, Nathan MacKinnon may be the best.
I'm talking about these young guys coming up that are going to get $8, $9
million. The more we see of Nathan MacKinnon, you put him in that conversation with McDavid and all that, but now you can add a winning to them, but, you know. Nathan MacKinnon's making like half of what Connor McDavid is. That's crazy.
That's absolutely
crazy. Yeah. But that's the situation. You sign the deal, and it's when the market is. He's thrilled to know that he signed that contract, had $30 million coming into his bank. But
like Colorado's got $11 million in cap space right now with this team, and Rantanen is going to get paid this offseason. But they got Varlamov coming off the books at just under $6 million at the end of this year. They'll be easily walking away from that based on Grubauer playing the way he is.
And Besser's not better than MacKinnon. He's not better than Pasternak. Mm. But what he's doing is he's in a different market.
Yes.
And he's 22 years old, and he's scoring goals on a weak team, okay, with not a lot of help. And you were the one that brought up Pedersen's struggle in the second half.
Yeah.
Well, so guess what? Besser is putting up goals on a weak team, and that's hard to do in the NHL. He's 22 years old. He's going to get paid.
Well, and I think Pedersen would look at the struggles of Johnny Gaudreau and all that and realize these guys want a chance. We had Troy Stetcher in the show here, came in a couple of days ago. You know, the photo with Troy Stetcher causing all the issues that I've had mentally over the last 48 hours.
Oh,
but Stetcher said...
Although some people, I think, thought that Stetcher's dad was Dollywall.
Yeah, oh, I did. Get out of here. Hey, by the way, Greg and Langley just texted us. Hey, Rick, tell Perry to get cool sculpting on his man boobs. So is that like clay or something, or what is that?
I've heard a lot of that. I thought it. Who said that one in? No, Greg, I heard of that. There's ads on the radio. Oh, I didn't know how I'd get rid of my muffin top. I'm still a little bit of a lazy ass, so rather than going to the gym and watching what I eat, I went to Cool Sculpting. It's a non-invasive procedure, and the next thing you know, I've got a six-pack. That's got to be bogus, but thanks.
Well, you,
we're up to like 14 listeners, though. This has been incredible.
This is good.
Crazy.
Big win for us today.
We're all going to go in for a raise this morning.
Leafs and Bruins are now a best of three series. I don't think we saw this was all that much of a surprise. The way the Bruins kind of answered back last night, I think we kind of saw this going seven games to begin with. But, you know, Boston got their big guns going, right? They had been pretty quiet for the most part in this series. And last night, David Pasternak, Pasta, was all over Toronto. They exposed Freddie Anderson where they got him moving around. But their big line last night looked good. Marchand looked good. Pastrnak looked good. Now we go best of three. Now the question is, can the Leafs go in and steal another in Boston? That's the tall order where I think a lot of Leafs fans are saying, boy, did we let this series get away based on coming up empty-handed in the second game at home last night?
Canucks draft pick Will Lockwood named captain at Michigan last night.
I guess he's not going to answer
just
your
listen
question.
To me. Listen to me, and
you're
I'll tell you why.
About something, you're going to Will Lockwood.
No,
okay.
Quickly, because the kid from Abbotsford is telling us we got – you ask yourself, when Will Lockwood made the decision to go back to Michigan, not sign with the Canucks, I wonder if that little caveat was given to him. Hey, you come back to Michigan, we'll name you the captain, you'll be our leader, yada, yada, yada. So last night, Will Lockwood named captain of Michigan. That's good for him.
Yeah, it is. And he's a good young kid. And with his shoulder problem, I think he wants to go in there 100% and prove that he can be a dominant player in the NCAA. And then, what is it, year three there already? Or is this the last year? They have to sign him by August?
They have to sign him by August 15th next year. Next summer, 16 months away. And if they don't sign him, he becomes a UFA.
Yeah.
But he came on this radio station and told our 14 listeners that...
Well, we had probably eight back then because that was like a month ago.
Yeah.
So Tyrion Langley's got Cool Sculpting is bigger money for nothing scam than Erickson's contract. So Cool Sculpting is...
It doesn't work, Terry.
It's a thing.
All right.
It's
forget about that. I won't be Googling that when I'm done here.
It's a thing.
$500 on the way. By the way, next week, North Van, you got like an hour and a half to get it done. Then we're redacting it. Is that the word? Mueller report comes out in 7 minutes. Then we're going to Delta next week. Can you put
North Delta, South Delta.
It says Delta.
Well, you
Ladder,
can't. You Tawasin, can't say
North
you,
Delta.
No,
yes,
you can't
says
say Delta
next week. I'm reading the script.
Say.
It says Delta.
Is it North Delta? Is it Tawasin? Is it? You can't say Delta.
It's a United. It's a United municipality.
Maybe we
no longer the corporation.
Give like $100 to five of your. Why don't you guys just have one Delta? Figure it out there. Why do you've got to be everything?
Oh, well,
it could be North Delta.
We just finally became a municipality. We finally became a city as opposed to being the corporation.
It could be North
Delta.
That's how you got to fix that.
24 minutes after 6 o'clock here on this Thursday morning. He's Rick. He's Perry. I'm James. You know what? The Whitecaps pick up their first win of the season. And there was a protest. Did anybody pay any attention? We'll get into that. More on the Vancouver Canucks and much, much more here on your home of Vancouver hockey, Sportsnet 650.
This is the starting lineup with James Cebulski.
At a certain point, he looks himself in the mirror and he just say, hey, I am a hippopotamus. And there is nothing I can do about it.
Perry Solkowski.
As soon as he accepts this, he live life happy.
And Rick Dhaliwal.
Happy as a hippo. You understand?
On Sportsnet 650.
Let's point out, south of the border right now, the Attorney General is about to, for the U.S., is set to meet with the media this morning in advance to the Mueller report set to come out. What would you be more curious to look at? The Mueller report, which is slated to drop sometime this morning, or the video that prosecutors are determined to show of Robert Kraft getting down and dirty in a rubber spot.
What would I rather look at? Well, you want the Mueller report's not going to be an easy read, right?
But why are prosecutors so jacked up to show
Robert
an old
Kraft?
Man getting busy in a rub and tug parlor?
I think because the old man and has that much money, I loved it so much I bought the company. I think he has a perception that he's better than everybody else, right? He looks down on a lot of people. I'm Robert Kraft. This is how I do things.
He went to a nickel and dime
rub-and-tug, though. And then he went there, so people want to embarrass him, going, huh, yeah. Really, you're that much above me. It's a little bit like Tiger Woods. Everyone revered Tiger Woods. He's the greatest. I'd love to be like Tiger Woods. And then, we had Stephen Ames on the Monday, who was one of the few guys that called out Tiger Woods and said, yeah, he thinks he's bigger than the game of golf. Then Tiger absolutely annihilated him in match play.
But by Tiger chasing girls at Denny's,
it brought it down to a common denominator. I was better than Tiger Woods. I'm going to celebrate my 25th anniversary. I think in one respects of life, I'm better than Tiger Woods.
I met a girl at Denny's once. He's like me.
Yes.
Robert Kraft. What the same type of places that Dhaliwal would go to.
Boy, hey, listen. Don't ever associate me with massage parlors, ever. Don't piss me off.
Not Madam
I got
Cleo.
A massage.
No, Madam Cleo.
Hey, Hey, I got a massage yesterday, but not. I didn't go to the place where Robert Kraft went.
I'll tell you right now, and this is how secure I am in my manhood. My man boobs are coming at me. You know what? I got booked at 11 o'clock today. I got a foot massage I'm going to have.
And a chest massage.
So I'm a foot. Hey. I'm having a foot massage because I was given this certificate, and it's just a couple blocks down from this place where we work. So, and I got to kill some time before a meeting. I'm going to some reflexology or whatever. I'm going to have a full-on foot massage. And I'm okay with it. You know why? Because let's take this full circle to Colorado and the Avs play. I was leaving the hotel to do the Canucks against the Avs way back when, and I looked, and there was Brad May getting a pedicure. And I looked, like, what are you doing? He's getting a pedicure. These are great. You ever had one? No, you wimp. Yeah. And I thought, if Brad May can get a pedicure, then I can have some people figure out what's going on with my foot.
So. Hey, listen, you need to get cool sculpting done. Terry and Langley and Greg and Langley. And what I've Googled cool sculpting. It's fat freezing, freeze fat. You're freezing the fat cells. You kill the fat cells. So if you get that done, I'll look into a doctor for you.
That doesn't work. That's crap.
You don't know if that doesn't work. What are you talking about?
Identifying the type of man boobs you've got. There are basically two different forms of man boobs. Number one is a medical condition known as gynecomastia, or gyno.
The other one is just fat boobies. I don't know what I have.
I think you have gyno, castia, whatever that guy said, and you got to get it fixed, man.
No, I'm getting a foot massage today. That's all I know.
It shouldn't be massaging your foot. And Robert Kraft's got the same problem you do.
The Whitecaps finally picked up their first win of the season last night. Yeah, let the sparse crowd, 17,000 at BC Place.
What'd you expect? They haven't won a game all year, and you expect on a midweek to have 28,000?
And there was no mention in the broadcast to allude to the protest that the Southsiders, got up. And there was a couple pictures there, the before and after once they got up and left. I would say this. The only thing Here's what I didn't like from the Southsiders protest. They raised attention, brought attention to it. Kara McCormick last night, she tweeted out, thanks guys for doing this. I felt like I was trying to raise these allegations. I felt like I was fighting this battle alone. Thank you for doing this. So she appreciated the gesture that the Southsiders were doing to bring attention to this story again and calling out the Whitecaps executive committee. Here's my only issue. You got up as a fan base to say, hey, we are protesting. You went into the concourse and stood in front of the giant screen TV and chanted and cheered along. And it was like, well, did you really do that much?
Yeah.
You brought attention to it. I will give them credit for that. They brought attention to it. And so I will say that something, but could it have been better?
And it probably was the cause for the Whitecaps to release a statement yesterday afternoon in which it really didn't say much to it.
But another
statement
is all,
I know, it's all statements. And I obviously they'd be getting legal advice. Names don't want to, although they're out there on social media circles. I don't think it's been handled well by the Whitecaps. Full credit to the women who have stepped up and brought this issue. I think Victor was on halftime yesterday too, and we had Victor Montaglione on the show about a month ago when we were saluting East Van and where he's from. It's a situation where, I think you do need to have a face sit down, and even if it's that face to say, listen, we're appalled by what went on. But there's conflicting reports, and Garen Larson's done a nice job at CBC to track down the ombudsman who did the investigating, and she didn't make any recommendations. I mean, you're kind of connecting the dots and going, there's something missing here. It wasn't handled the right way. And burying the head in the sand hasn't done much. Police admitted yesterday during the little briefing that they are looking into some things. So good.
They're
on the
aware
ladies.
Of it, but they wouldn't allude to the fact that there's an investigation. They just said, we are well aware of it, and that's that essentially.
Yeah. And so it continues on, but it's tough to find the next layer of the story because no one's doing any talking. Except that more and more women who come up, they got to find a way with the CSA, with BC Soccer. If a guy has a license, he's alleged to have done all this. If it can be proven, then that license got to be taken away. Shouldn't be involved coaching.
Well, and now minor, if you're in minor hockey, you want to get involved in the executive or coaching, you have to take,
all the courses.
Yeah. And they're trying to eliminate this in the future. But move on from this story. It's been...
Well,
it's
I don't know
been,
if you can hanging. Move on from
Yes,
that,
you
Richard.
Can. You could get talk to the guy, and if he did something wrong, get him out of there. Or... let the police take care of it. But it's just, the story is lingering. It just keeps, it's got legs. It keeps going.
Well, it hasn't gone away, and I think it's more the, and I think it's the accountability, right? It's the accountability is how did this something like this kind of linger, and if there was something more to it, then how come there weren't criminal charges? And I think if there was something there, or why did it take so long for this to finally become? Because we're talking almost a decade later, yeah. Right? But a lot of, and but in fairness, like a lot of these Me Too Time's Up stories that have come out, look at Kevin Spacey. Where he got called out. I mean, that was, you know, you're talking about 20 years later, essentially, you know, 25 years later, 30 years later for mm-hmm. him. You know, Bill Cosby, you know, Bill Cosby was America's dad in the 1980s, but, you know, he was taken to task to stories and incidents that have happened, you know, 30, 40 years ago for his career. So it's not just in the moment. It's stuff that has happened well over time. And this is where I think people are kind of wondering, what happened here? And was this swept under the rug?
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, that phrase "swept under the rug" happened in a lot of situations.
Yeah,
they're kind of going, why didn't the alarm bells go off right then and there? But who was actually interviewed in this investigation? So there's a lot of accountability. I think there would have been and could have been better ways to handle the situation because it won't go away. So in the protest yesterday by the fans, I. Was it recognizable? They weren't going to show any of it on TV. You can see some pictures. We've had some images that we've shown on City TV. Yeah, the concourse was full for the 9 minutes. And then they went down saying, this has nothing to do with the players on the field. It's all about the organization. The Whitecaps have been very, very quiet about the whole thing. And they may go, well, what are we supposed to say? Sometimes just stepping up in front of a microphone to say, listen, we're appalled by what happened. We thought we took the right steps. We are now doing what we can 11 years. We've reached out to such and such. Some of those things to go, we're trying to repair it. A lot of people looking at that image, and there was no sorry or no apology from the Whitecaps. A lot of corporate speak with no name being put on.
Pair, they talked about how they had an ombudsman, that, you know, this open door policy that, hey, you can go to somebody. Honestly, in any workplace, do you ever feel comfortable going to someone that you can report it to? I'd say most people in most workplaces don't necessarily feel good about trying to raise an issue. I remember years back trying to speak to a manager about something confidential, with, you know, speaking in confidence. I said, hey, you know, I take issue with this because, and here's why. And I said, before I said that, I said, are we speaking in confidence here? Like, are we comfortable to speak our mind and say our opinions? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The next day, the person I was talking about called me to say, hey, I heard you said this about me. Because that manager turned around and talked to another manager who in turn that manager went on and told that guy. And he said, hey, man, I hear you got it. No, man, I don't, you know, and it's like having this conversation to say, you know, we could have had this conversation. And it was fine, but it was just still like, well, wait a minute. You just told me you had an open door policy and we could speak in confidence. And I would say that there's a lot of workplaces that are like that out there.
Yeah, it's a... It's
one right,
of those
it's like if
yeah. you can talk to me, your secret's safe with me.
If Perry goes to the boss and says these guys are talking about my physicality, issues, I could be in trouble here.
Well, we call it a star hotline.
I'm not going to tell you that. I wouldn't do that behind your back.
Oh, sure you would.
I wouldn't do that behind your back. I'm doing it for even the 10 listeners that are listening. I went right to the boss when we were off the air at 9:02 yesterday.
Oh, great.
And now I've got to fill some kind of form. You're just lucky I don't know how to open up the form.
Greg and Langley, hey, Rick, Delta Laser does it. My wife works there. Pretty sure we can get Perry a deal. That's cool sculpting.
Greg, be honest with us. It doesn't work. At some point, your wife's lying in bed beside you going, honey, I think it's a hoax. I think it's a hoax. You can't lose fat cells without going for
you
a walk.
You freeze fat
calories.
Cells. Fat cells hate cold. So you freeze the fat cells. That's what he's telling you, Greg and Langley. A cool sculpting.
Said about that, you know?
Fat cells hate cold.
Listen, on the text line here, 650-650. Listen, you want more listeners? Tell them you have great parking, like at Surrey Honda. Also, don't count your levy out.
Yeah.
Be a top four D-man. Great show, guys. Have a good day.
You know what? Only one way to lose weight. It's a keto diet or...
You got to have kale, broccoli, and spinach every night. Bottom line.
That's the only sensible thing you've said.
Or cool.
As I was researching healthy alcohols...
Yeah, and I did. I changed my life. I Googled the healthy alcohols, and now I know what to drink that doesn't, cause high blood sugar.
So what is it?
Straight vodka?
No Coke. You don't put Coke in the drink. You put the spirits in there with ice, a little dab of water, and a little bit of lemon, and that's it.
Ice is water.
There you go.
Just never mind. You put ice in there.
Who needs a keto diet, Perry, when you've got Dolly Well to teach you how to get drunk without getting fat?
They say it melts away, but it takes 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, that's a cool sculpting. It kills fat cells. Freezing. You should get it done in Delta with Greg and Langley.
6:43. We got the numbers you need to know. Brian Burke's going to join us just after 7 o'clock, but we're playing Stat Me Up next here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 6.
With Walker and Rintoul this afternoon at 4. They say stats are for losers.
You know, men lie, women lie, but numbers don't.
Really, the stats are for losers.
Speaking of which, here are Cebulski and Solkowski.
All right, 6:48 here on this Thursday morning. James, Perry, and Rick hanging out with you. We bring in the $1 million man, Scott Brown from Fifth Avenue Real Estate and Marketing, as we play Stat Me Up. Good morning, Scotty.
Hey, how you doing?
It's Thursday, rolling into a long weekend, so any better, and I think both Perry and I would be cutting up our health cards.
Well, all this diet talk got me pushing away from the Easter eggs, though.
Yeah, you don't want to come in. It's a cult in this building, I tell you, Scotty.
Work
it's a cult.
Work on man boobs with lots of chocolate this weekend, right? Here we go. My number this morning, 4.
There's a touchdown throw to Callaway as Mayfield just sips it in there.
How about the NFL schedule dropped last night, and boy, the NFL is buying into the Cleveland Browns hype like everybody, right? It's not just Sat Shaw right now, people. With OBJ now joining the Baker Mayfield train, Cleveland will be featured in not one, not two, not three.
Stop.
4 primetime matchups this fall. And over the last 10 seasons, no team has appeared in fewer primetime games than the Cleveland Browns. They've played in 11 primetime games over the last decade, and they're going to play in 4 of them. 4 of them this fall. And I want to watch them.
You know what? They have incredibly, in a year's time, from the laughing stock to must-watch NFL Sunday. And they will have that hard fan base of the dog pound who have gone through all these tough years like Sat Shaw, who are now going, oh, this could just be really worth it. They're going to be fun to watch. It's a young team. And to make the moves that they did, it's going to be exciting to watch Cleveland. And, yeah, 4 of them. Sat's already got it on the calendar. He's going on the Seahawks there. He's going to watch him play.
You got it.
In Cleveland. Scott, what do you got for a stat?
Well, I got a stat of 1.5.
Letang will track it down. 3, 2, 1. The horn sounds. And oh, how sweep it is! The New York Islanders have their first sweep since the 83 Cup Final over the Oilers. And they are headed to round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, I may not have a dog in the hunt, as they say, but the NHL playoffs are certainly a source of nightly entertainment for me. 2 sweeps have obviously stirred up the chatter, and while the Islanders' goaltending is solid, I did a little digging in, and Barry Trotz's Islander team defense and puck possession have led to an impressive goals against average of only 1.5 per game. That's easily a goal better than any other playoff team so far, and it certainly wasn't 1.5 in any game last night. Even more impressive is that he achieved this against Sid the Kid Malkin and company.
Yeah. No, they've it's been a crazy week of Stanley Cup playoffs, that's for sure, and what they've been going. My number, very quickly, it's a big number, $37 million. It's not a contract that we talk about in pro sports. That's the amount of money that was lost very quickly by the Alliance of American Football. Had to file bankruptcy, and that's what they came up with the number. Here's what this little venture cost us. We thought it was a great idea at the time, had some good people involved, but yeah, that was a $37 million dud. Did not work for them in any such way. What's Fifth Avenue Realty got for us as far as a number and a stat this Friday, this Thursday morning, Scott?
Well, I'm going to dust something off because Rick's talking about the housing market now. So
yeah, look out for that.
Exactly. My real estate stat is 2. There are only currently 2 active projects offering the popular, what they call master on the main townhome product throughout the metro area, throughout of all of Metro Vancouver. This product type is attractive to both empty nesters and downsizers alike, and there's plenty of those as our population ages. Homes like a project called DenbyLiving.com are priced from the 800s. These are big. They're 2,500, 3,000 square foot townhomes, and you can live through most of your living on the main floor. Evidence of this demand, there's 300 groups visited a show home in Langley recently in 2 hours. So amazing what can happen when you have one, well, let's just say two of a kind offering in Metro Vancouver.
That's those are big places.
Yeah.
2,500, 3,000 square feet.
It's more than
That's
enough.
Some space.
More than
Lots
enough.
Lots of space, and somebody else cuts your lawn.
Yeah.
Very.
That's something that's very attractive. Oh, yeah. No,
the sound of that.
Yeah. No, that'll work up there at all. Well, there you go.
You're mowing my lawn.
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, have a great weekend, guys. Remember, rabbit is not appropriate Easter meal.
Unless it's chocolate.
That is true, but I think if you served a rabbit cook, you'd probably have a bunch of kids crying at the table.
What did you do to Peter Cottontail?
What was the Glenn Close movie?
Fatal Attraction.
That's Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. There's the rabbit scene that'll keep everybody in check. Thanks, Scotty. Yeah. Have a great long weekend.
You bet. Have a good one.
Thank you. Scott Brown, Fifth Avenue Real Estate and Marketing. Robert Kraft living Fatal Attraction right now, right?
Doing what he can.
Keep that tape
away from TMZ.
6:54, Brian Burke is going to join us just after 7 o'clock. We got Thomas Rhett tickets up for grabs as well, if you want to go see him at Pepsi Live at Rogers Arena. And the Selke nominees have been announced, Perry, and I don't see any Canucks on it.
One day. Gone are the Kessler years.
Yes. But there is a very familiar name that you might know that is pretty much a guarantee on the Selke nominees with death, taxes, and you can count on this name being a Selke nominee. We'll share with that next here on your home of Vancouver hockey, Sportsnet 650.
From Langley to UBC.
Anton Soderberg is gone. Soderberg, Randall scores!
The Tri-Cities to the ferry terminals.
Well, we got to go home and play our best game in Game 5. That's what we have to do. We have to win one game.
This is the starting lineup with James Cebulski.
Up again. Big chance here in front. Scores!
Perry Solkowski.
Here's Marchand over the line left side looking for Pastrnak. Deflected. They score!
And Rick Dhaliwal.
But I thought we had good energy. I think 3 of the 4 games we've had real good energy and did lots of good things. Just got in our own way a little bit here tonight.
On Sportsnet 650.
And the crowd stands and salutes 99 one more time.
The best player on any ice surface in any rink at any time.
7 o'clock here on this Thursday morning. It's wet out there. James, Perry, and Rick, how you doing, everybody? We are the starting lineup here on your home of Vancouver hockey, Sportsnet 650. We got Brian Burke. We got a little throwback Thursday. We got a little Thunderstruck rolling.
A little long weekend ahead of us.
Yeah. That we actually get to partake in, Rick.
Finally, a decent tune, AC/DC. You can listen to them all day. The best music to work out to is this is songs like this.
Well, and you know what? I was at the gym yesterday, and I just Spotify hit fitness motivation or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing there's whatever 350 songs, good upbeat music. But some of the lyrics that I was hearing, I was just going, "Holy smokes, man!"
On what, AC/DC?
No, not AC/DC. It was just a whole bunch of everything. A lot of rap in there. You know what? I walk in with you, and you're in your Pittsburgh Pirates hat, and what's their sweat? Is that just a
yellow,
right?
Yellow and black.
So I was started giving you a little black and yellow, black and yellow. You know, that was playing, but it's just like, oh, man. It's different.
That's the one struggle I find as a parent, and if I want to listen to hip-hop now, I have to make sure I'm downloading or utilizing the clean lyrics. I made that mistake a few years ago where I turned on my I put on my iPod, and it was in the docking station. And I threw on, across the living room into the kitchen. And I throw on some Drake.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. And the kids are pretty young at the time, and they're still relatively young. They're 10 and 7 right now. But throw it on, and it's like the first word is like, a racial word that isn't very appropriate to use anywhere, and then followed up by the F-bomb, and then
What are we listening to, Daddy?
Yes, bomb.
Daddy,
yeah.
Can we look at the lyrics?
Yeah,
can you just tell quickly, me what it is? Can yeah, we sing along?
We'll find something else. We'll go back. Let's go back to Raffy, everybody. Yeah.
Do you have the, there can't be, but are there hip hop or songs in karaoke where they have explicit lyrics?
Yeah, but you can't.
You can't go to a bar and someone's just going.
There's hip hop karaoke. Like there are places that have hip hop karaoke.
Okay.
But you cannot. But certain words are banned.
Okay. Yeah. I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Just you need the home karaoke machine for those versions.
Yeah, there are still words that even if it's karaoke, they are not justifiable. No, you still said that word. No, can't get away with that one.
There's words we learn every day. I didn't know anything about cool sculpting until Terry and Langley. And
didn't know about that?
I didn't know what cool sculpting
you know,
was.
How about the word stave off?
Elimination.
It's
do or die.
This is the only time you ever hear the term stave off. Like, hey, how you know, what have you been up to? Oh, I'm trying to stave off the bees out in the front of my house right now. No, I'm trying to stave off the ants that have been getting in all over the kitchen already.
No one ever
this
uses
season.
It.
Nobody uses stave off unless you're talking about a sports reference.
Well, this is NHL playoffs. That's when you start hearing stave off elimination.
I had never heard the word redacted till a few weeks ago. You know, when the whole Mueller report came out, redacted, redaction, edit, sure. Mm-hmm. But which is essentially what it is. But we'll hear that all day if you're watching news. Okay, here's the Mueller report. They released the redacted Mueller report.
How many of our listeners, the three of us included, knew what the word truculent meant before Brian Burke dropped that at a news conference, what, a half dozen years ago? Brian's going to join us momentarily, but truculent.
Well, how about
became all of a sudden like now it's a pop culture word in the hockey universe. Hey, they got to be more truculent. Well, hey, the Canucks, Jim Benning wants to get more truculent here.
Well, Jim Benning said yesterday, told Post Media, you know what? We got to protect our star players. I might go out and get some more grit.
How about
another summer regret?
How about Roger Clemens when talking to Congress, all of a sudden fires out the "I misremembered."
Misremembered.
Misremember is a word. Yeah, just say you misremembered. Mm-hmm. And there enough. Definitely misremembered.
Hey, by the way, Thatcher Demko is going to go to the Worlds to play for USA. Markstrom is going to be there for Sweden. DiPietro is deep into the OHL playoffs. They're in the Final Four.
They haven't lost a game yet. They're in the Eastern Conference Final, the Ottawa 67.
You look at all the doom and gloom about the Canucks. They can't score, not enough skill, not enough toughness, whatever. The one constant this year has been their goaltending, has been good. Like, this DiPietro kid, he's 8 wins. He's 8-0 in the OHL playoffs. He's 8 wins away from the Memorial Cup.
A second Memorial Cup.
Yeah, a second Memorial Cup. And he won one with Windsor. Now he's in Ottawa. But Demko, you know, for the Americans to call on him, there's a lot of good American goalies in the NHL. And he got the call. He accepted. He's going to go. Markstrom's going to play for Sweden. And they signed this NCAA goaltender. I'm telling you, at least one area the Canucks do not have a concern right now in their organization is goaltending.
No, that may be where their biggest asset is. So when you talk about is it possible that they could make any kind of a move or something bold be done by Jim Benning, I think that's the avenue you look at going, well, you know, say Thatcher Demko goes to the World, gets in a lot of games. Somehow something works out and he plays a lot and plays well. That bargaining chip, if you're willing to move it, is big. Or is Markstrom a bargaining chip that you look at as well? So I just think that's of something that might be of interest to other teams. You could go, oh, Sutter or Erickson. Listen, they're not high on the interest list for any team unless they're trying to get to a salary, you know, get to the floor of the salary cap. But there is potential when you talk about Thatcher Demko. And you could sell the old Jacob Markstrom has hit stride. We'll see.
It is 8 minutes after 7 o'clock here on this Thursday morning. Here he is after a late night. He joins us here via his palatial estate on the other side of the country, Mr. Brian Burke. Good morning, Berkey.
Morning, guys.
Are you short on sleep this week?
Yep. Yes, I am.
Were you watching the press conference, the Mueller report? What was going on?
Did I what?
Were you watching the press conference as far as the Mueller report and what was going on there in the last couple of minutes?
No. No, I didn't get home until 1:30 or 2 o'clock. I'm not sure what time. I went to bed, and then I actually, you guys won't believe this, and your listeners will believe it even less, but I actually prepare for this show.
Well,
so I got up and made coffee and been doing my research, so so I can at least appear intelligent, even if I am not intelligent.
Ah, well, that's one of the three of us on the radio right now, so that's good. Let's start with last night, the last game you would have saw. How much concern is there in Calgary with where they are? And I guess, do they have enough horses to get back in this series?
Well, I don't know. I mean, till now, in games 3 and 4, they were outplayed. They were much better last night, but outplayed badly. When your goaltender is averaging 50 saves over two games, and one of them's regulation, you've got to be concerned. I mean, they're giving up way too much. The goaltender, the only reason they haven't been embarrassed and eliminated at this point is the goaltender. He's been fabulous. But that's a hard way to live. You know, that's a really hard way to live. If you're a GM, that's how your hair goes gray in a hurry, if you're winning games that way and hanging on by your fingernails. I mean, that whole thing was white knuckle last night, even when they were up 2-0. So, no, I don't know if they survive game 5. I mean, I just did the radio there, and there's only one thing you can do in an elimination game anyway, and it has ever been this way in pro sports is, and it sounds like a cliche, but this is truly what teams do. They say, all right, we can't worry about game 6. We can't worry about game 7. We have to stay alive long enough to fight one more time. So we're going to focus on the next 60 minutes. And they were dramatically better, and they'll be better at home. My prediction is they will force a game 6, but I just don't know if they have enough. Like I say, if you're winning on 50 save performances, that's hard math.
Yeah, well, no, and that's exactly it. And like you said, I mean, the question mark for the Flames going in was goaltending, and Mike Smith's been standing on his head. There were some other shockers from earlier this week that I think a lot of people are still trying to make sense of. Here the Flames are down 3-1. They're the second-best team in hockey based on regular season standings this year. The best team in hockey, a team that matched the most historical moment in history in the regular season with most wins, 62, they get swept in round number one. What happened to Tampa, Brian, from your standpoint?
I don't know, and I don't think anyone there has figured it out yet. This is – I've racked my brain to find a comparable beating from an underdog. This isn't just David beating Goliath. It's him beating the snot out of him 6 times. I mean, I cannot draw a parallel. I've seen upsets. I think upsets are an important part of the playoff history of a sport. And had Columbus upset the Tampa Bay Lightning in 7 games, you'd say, well, that's a shocker. But a sweep and no 50-save performances by their goaltender. They lost the first period in game 1. They were down 3-0. And then since then, they've dominated every square inch of the ice. This is no fluke. This is no winning on lucky bounces. This is outplaying, outworking, outperforming an elite team every second and on every square inch of the ice. It's a thorough beating.
And Brian,
so, yeah, I don't know why.
And I wonder, Brian, because it's always a copycat. Well, every league's a copycat league. You look at the champion and go, how are they built? Tampa Bay was so good, and you go, boy, that is skill and finesse, and I think they have enough there. Do other GMs in the NHL look and go, well, which way are we going here? How is this game trending? Because they were so better than everybody else, but now they're watching, and your best team in the West could very well be watching in the next 4 days in Calgary. Does it change, or can it change, the view of a GM sitting on the sidelines going, where are we going here?
Well, it is a copycat league. I mean, you remember when we won in Anaheim and everyone said you had to get big, and it worked. You know, the Kings won 2 cups with big teams, and then Chicago wins their cups, and they're more of a skilled team. 9 skilled forwards, 3. We're a 6-6, top 6, bottom 6. So the model changes, but I've long believed, with the exception being Pittsburgh, who won 2 cups with medium-sized teams, not small teams. I'm a big believer that big teams still win, and that's certainly being borne out in this playoff this year. The bigger teams are having success. Washington leads in their series. They're a big team. Columbus is a big team, and they play heavy. So I don't know where it goes, and you'll see who the ultimate champion is, but there's definitely teams as you say, the copycat. They say, okay, that worked. We need to be bigger. That worked. We need to be faster. But the answer has always been, Bill Torrey told me this years ago. I was an assistant GM, probably 87 or 88, when I first met U2 Clowns. And I was assistant GM in Vancouver. And I said to Bill Torrey, have you got some advice for a young GM, you know, a young aspiring GM? And you've got four cups. And Bill said, listen, he said, it's pretty simple. He said, you got to win 16 games to win a Stanley Cup. So he said, you're going to play a big team. In those four rounds, you're going to play a big team, so you need to be big enough to beat a big team. You're going to play a fast team, so you need to be fast enough to beat a fast team. You're going to meet a team that relies on special teams, so your special teams have to be good enough to beat that team. And then you're going to play a hybrid. It's a blend of all four, likely in the third or fourth round, that has all those components, so you've got to be able to match. And it sounds really simple. It's great advice, really hard to do. Those are pretty four hard boxes to check, but that was advice from a guy with four rings. So I think it hasn't changed. You still need to have some size. You still need to have some skill.
Brian Burke with us here on Sportsnet 650. I want to look at the Canucks here for a second based on what that logic and rationale is, because Jim Benning was recently quoted as saying, you know, he'd like to get a little bigger up front. They added Tanner Pearson. They add Josh Levo. They went out, they got Jay Beagle last year. They add a little more sandpaper with Antoine Roussel. Do you think the Canucks still need to get bigger and tougher?
Well, I think there's a few priorities, I think, for the Canucks. Do they need to be bigger and tougher or play bigger and tougher? I mean, I think Jake Virtanen has a chance to be, you see what Sam Bennett has evolved into with Calgary. I think if Jake accepts that role, he's perfectly capable of being a real quality contributor. In other words, a guy who can score 10 or 15 goals. He's got a great shot. He's got great wheels. And he's hostile. So if he accepts that role, like you see Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett's been one of the best players in the Calgary series. He's crunching people and threatening to start fights. And he can chip in. He's got three primary assists. So I think Jake Virtanen, once he accepts his role, could be that guy. Could be a very valuable player and bring size and bring hostility to the lineup. I think Roussel was a great signing. I mean, my criticism at the time was the term was too long, but he delivered value for sure in his first year. Beagle, I don't consider a hard player, but plays like an intimidating player, but plays hard, plays the right way, good penalty killer. I mean, can you imagine if the Canucks had stayed healthy this year? You know, they had long-term injuries to Sutter and Berchi and Tanev and Edler, and I'm like, if they'd have gotten 10 more games even on each of those guys, they probably would have made the playoffs. So I think they're going the right way. Everyone loves Pettersson. We all know that. We could talk about him for the whole show. Bo Horvat had another good year and shows leadership skills. Brock Besser's getting better. I thought Levo was a great acquisition. So there's lots of positives, I think, at the end of the season. Are they big enough to win? Not yet. Are they skilled enough to win? Not yet. Because they're chasing teams that have been rebuilding for more years than they have. But I think they're moving the right way. Like, if I'm a season ticket holder, I see hope here.
Let me throw this at you, because for the last week since the draft lottery was held, you know, the Canucks land the 10th overall selection in June's draft here at Rogers Arena in Vancouver. You know, Jim Benning was even, you know, romanticizing the idea it would have been great to have Jack Hughes and to have him playing with his brother Quinn. You know, people have tried to throw out all sorts of hypotheticals and what it would cost. But if the Canucks were to move up to try to get a top three pick, realistically, Brian, what sort of...
we got a problem with the line here, guys. I heard the first part of that question. That's it.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So humor me here for a second. Hypothetically, with the Canucks sitting with the 10th spot, you know, the idea of the Canucks moving up to the top two picks, what sort of package would it look like for Vancouver? Like, what would they have to give up?
Well, it's a good draft. Like, people forget the reason we were able to do this with the Twins was that it was the worst first round in the history of the National Hockey League. Like, go back and look. People, when you get to work, don't do this in your cars. When you get to work, look up the first round of the year the Sedins were drafted. It's a dog's breakfast. And that's the only reason that teams were willing to move picks. I'm no genius. I know everyone says, oh, you were a magician at that draft. I'm like, no, it's a function of the reason Chicago was willing to trade us the pick was, A, we paid a horrible price tag for it. Brian McCabe in a first. I was sick about trading Brian McCabe. And the picks were, the players were lousy. So the package to move up in this draft and get a shot at the, there's two really, really good players that everyone's talking about, but there's more depth as well. It's probably prohibitive. It's probably more than you should pay to do this. So in other words, you're doing it for the image. You're doing it so you can say, I did it. You're doing it so you can get up on stage and pick first and say, or second and say, here we are. We're the Canucks. We're hosting the draft. My guess is you'd overpay for a little bit of sizzle and flash, and that doesn't sound like Jim Benning to me. I don't think he's about flash. We did the Sedin deal because we felt there were the two best players and maybe the two only players in that draft that would be legitimate longtime NHL players, and we were right, except for Barrett Jackman and maybe one other guy.
Brian Burke joins us, Perry Salkowski, James Cebulski. One guy, an overall pick can change a team. Sidney Crosby did that. I think, you know, a lot of people going, what's Tampa do? Oh, you were so good. I don't think they make any changes. Does Jim Rutherford do anything with this team now in Pittsburgh? Is he on the backside of the mountain now? Does he have to adjust to things, Brian, or what can he do?
Well, they might be. You don't know. They might be. And if that's the case, you know, it's pretty good run. They got a lot of hardware out of this group and a lot of jewelry out of this group. So they might be on the back nine. I'm not prepared to say that yet. But I think Jimmy's an impatient guy, and they're used to winning there. I don't think they'll do a rebuild. I think they'll do some tweaks and see what they have, make some changes and see what they have. I don't think they'll tear it apart. I heard an absurd suggestion yesterday from someone in the media that they should make a coaching change. And I'm like, yeah, really? Two rings? So what I would do there is, again, they're going to sit down. This is all fresh. You don't do it the day after you're eliminated. You don't do it 2 days after you're eliminated. You tell your coaches, go away for a couple days. You don't wait too long because you got to do it while it's still fresh in your mind. You don't want to wait a week or 8 days, but 2-3 days, you stay away from the rink, and we'll sit down and go through it. And I would expect they'll look at the group and say, okay, we need to make these changes to be competitive. I don't see a total rebuild, but who knows?
You're a wordsmith. The Flames have to stave off elimination. Do you ever use the word stave in regular life except for...
I have used the word stave in my broadcast career, yes.
I know, but do you ever use it in daily life, though? Like, I don't know, understand how I would fit it into something if I'm hanging around the house.
I don't know, but I certainly don't think this is a good use of my time on your show.
No, but that's why we were saying goodbye, because
we've
got to
maximize his minutes,
left,
he's
right?
saying, Perry. He's maximizing his minutes, he's saying.
Well, their time was up. So
I need quality minutes. I don't, you know, I need quality minutes.
Well, and that's what Johnny Gaudreau needs to give the Flames, too, and he's taking a lot of heat for it.
Yeah, well, he's scuffling getting things done. I will tell you one thing. It's not for lack of work. He's working his butt off. Last night was the most physical I've ever seen him. He was involved defensively multiple times. So it's not for lack of work. It's just not happening for him right now. And they're ganging up on him. Like, they're throwing numbers at his side of the ice all night and cutting off all his options. They're doing a really good job on him.
Hey, Brian, before we get going here, you know, I always feel like a playoffs is always a coming out party for somebody that you kind of, you know, they get in the spotlight and they kind of show what they can do and people go, whoa, I didn't realize they were that good or I didn't see that in them. Is there a player that's kind of shown you a little more than you expected?
Yeah, I thought Josh Anderson in the Columbus series, I thought he was really good. I liked him before. I mean, he had 27 goals.
Yeah.
Not like he snuck up on anybody, but I thought he really elevated his play. I think Sam Bennett has really elevated his play. Yeah, there's a few guys. We'll go through that. Once the playoffs are over, we'll go through that. Because you're right. Every year, not just one guy, but 3-4 guys step out of the shadows and step under the spotlight and elevate their play. And it's really cool to see. It's one of the coolest parts of the playoffs.
And you know what's crazy, Brian? If I was to ask you now, and I don't know if you want to give an answer, and here we are 9 days in, if I was to say, who's your favorite to win a Stanley Cup right now? I mean, isn't it crazy your answer would be probably completely different?
I picked Tampa, so yeah. That shows you how much I know.
Well,
and I hate predictions, so no, I'm not going to predict.
No, I know. It's crazy.
Oh, but you just did, and you got it wrong.
I had to because Sportsnet made us all pick. Huh. You guys don't have that kind of clout, so screw yourselves. I'm not picking.
Happy Easter to you, too.
Happy Easter, man.
Yeah, happy Easter. Happy bloody Easter.
Exactly. Is there a worse name for a holiday? Good Friday? Like, wasn't exactly good for the guy, was it?
No, it's a misnomer for sure. If you're Catholic, it's a hard one to figure out.
No kidding. Okay. Happy Easter to you, sir.
See you, Berkey.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Brian Burke. Yeah, Good Friday. Why are you calling a day that was probably the worst day I ever had Good Friday?
Well, because they have hindsight 2020. Things are going to work out good on Sunday. Right?
Yeah. Dude, I knew you were going to be okay.
They read the book. Yeah. Listen, it's just like it's a long sleep. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Trust me.
Give it 2 days. You'll be all right.
Like you OD'd. You're waking up. You're good. The paramedics come in.
Yeah, and we'll celebrate you with chocolate. 24 minutes after 7 o'clock. That was Brian Burke, who joins us each and every Thursday here on the starting lineup. You want tickets? We got tickets. Thomas Rhett, tickets up for grabs. Perry with his Alex Trebek audition for Jeopardy. That's all happening next when we play Under Pressure on Sportsnet 6.
You're listening to The Starting Lineup with James Cebulski.
I'm not interested in it, so let's talk about something else.
Perry Solkowski.
Amazing. You're asking intelligent questions today, Perry.
And Rick Dhaliwal.
And you're not a GM, and I was, so I win.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
James Perry and Rick here on this wet Thursday morning. Appreciate Brian Burke dropping by.
I do too, because
you guys don't have that kind of clout, so screw yourselves. I'm not picking. When I first met you two clowns, I was assistant GM in Vancouver.
He called you clowns.
Yeah.
He called you every name in the book.
Actually, I forgot about it that. It's funny how you I thought it was a decent interview, but right, he called us out a couple of times.
He called you clowns. He called you, and you guys got no clout.
Yeah.
Everything I've been saying for years.
He wished us a happy bloody Easter.
Yeah, I got that.
End it, right?
I got that, too.
Even,
not sure if that was literal, though.
No, I don't think he did, but I think, again,
he will view that
last 15 minutes of his life as time wasted. As unfortunately, man, he might view most Thursdays at 7 o'clock when he jumps on the show with us.
I woke up early for that. Yeah, I could see Brian feeling that way.
And then said he prepares for this segment when kind of insinuating we don't. And he might be right on both accounts.
We're going to play Under Pressure in just a moment. I did mention earlier this morning the Selke Trophy nominees are out. They announced yesterday. Ryan O'Reilly from the Blues, Mark Stone, and Patrice Bergeron are your three finalists for the Selke this year. Feel like this is Mark Stone's year, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Bergeron's won it four times.
Yeah.
And he was great again this year, aside from missing the 1 month in November for injury. But Stone really, man, what he did this year and just how good he was with Vegas and that stretch run.
Here would be my question if we had a bigger research staff, which we don't. How many times has an NHL award winner won an award playing for two teams? How many times are you traded and yet you win an award? I would think the number would be fairly low. I mean, if you're talking you are the elite of your position in that you're going to be honored by the league, what's the likelihood that that person has played on two teams?
Only one that really comes to mind was I remember Willie McGee winning the batting title in the early 90s where he got moved. I think he went from the National League to the American League, and he was he had done enough. He still qualified for the at-bats to hang on for that batting title that particular year. But in terms of, like, hardware,
I don't know.
Not sure.
Mark Stone certainly has a great case, and it shouldn't have any effect on him. Certainly he wasn't traded in a situation. It was, here's the money, and that's why he's moved. And he was moved because he is a quality player and one of the best. So I don't know how much he concerns himself with winning that. I think he's on the right path to winning.
Look who's skating this morning. Look who is skating this morning.
Who?
Andrei Svechnikov skating this morning. Such a nice sight.
Well, I think if he's skating already, if you get knocked out and 2 days later or 2.5 days later, you're essentially out on the ice, what does that speak about the NHL's concussion protocol?
Well, the Carolina Hurricanes are not going to let him skate if they're not 100%. Hey, just because he's skating doesn't mean he's playing tonight.
So in football, if you suffer a concussion, it's I think you've got to miss a week, right?
What do you mean the word?
What's the word?
Svechnikov's out? No, he's skating right now.
Yep. Renaud Lavoie from TVA Sports.
He's the French guy that Ryan Kessler said. Remember when Kessler was getting traded and he said, oh, yeah, the French guy's busting all the stories. That's him. He's skating this
morning.
One
of the better hockey insiders, by the way, just to be in all seriousness about Renaud.
Why didn't you bust that story?
Yeah, anyways.
Dollywell, why didn't you bust that story?
Because apparently he went to the Olympics, got all the scoops on the Kessler trade. I don't know. Anyways, Sir Andrei Svechnikov skating this morning. Good news. Good kid. Unfortunately, got beat up by a 33-year-old.
Texted at 650, 650. You're back on the air. I was worried after the Good Friday jokes, God would send lightning.
Oh, yeah, we were dancing in the.
Burke really staved off that last question.
Hey, nice call. We weren't worried because lightning was eliminated 2 weeks, 2 days ago.
Ah! Boom.
Boom, boom.
Shall we play?
Yeah, let's do it. Under Pressure, tickets coming to you right now. You want to go see a great concert? Thomas Rhett, As Hard As You Find in the country music. As Hot As You Find. He's coming to Rogers Arena. We'll be there in May. Let's open up the ticket window. Let's play Under Pressure.
It's your chance to win tickets by playing Under Pressure.
No, I don't.
Do we ever have the guy say the phone number there, Toch, and that? We don't. He never tells the phone number. 604-280-0650.
Nobody gave me the questions.
604-280-0650 number to call as we play Under Pressure. Your opportunity to win some tickets. It's as simple as that. 604-280-0650. What we do is we ask you questions pertaining to the world of sports. If you can go 3 for 3, you win yourself tickets. Now, if you're feeling the pressure and you're going, oh, you need a lifeline, you can say, save me, Cebulski, or rescue me, Rick.
Oh, my God.
Let's turn down the phone line. Cam in Mission is where we go. Cam, hit that radio dial. Turn it down, buddy, so you can hear me. Good morning.
It is down.
All right. You are set to go. Cam, it sounds like you're oozing Thursday confidence and will have no difficulties. Oh, Dollywall mentioned this. The second Canuck just announced. But what two Canucks are going with Team USA to the World Hockey Championships?
Besser?
No.
Oh, Cam. That's a good guess by Cam. You would think logically, but Cam, unfortunately, it was a guess, and you are incorrect. Thank you, Cam, for listening.
That went quick.
Yeah, 604-280-0650. Where do we go? North Van and Nelson is there. Good morning, Nelson.
Morning. How's it going?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. Who was the winning goalie for the Avs last night?
Philip Grubauer.
Nelson having...
like a diehard villain.
No. Grubauer.
Hans Gruber.
Yeah, he got that.
Philip Grubauer.
What was Mikey saying? Here we go. We're in North Van this week, part of the In Your Hood. Nelson, if you have a team, you can text us. Maybe you can win $500. But you're focusing on winning tickets right now.
All right.
What goaltender playing in the NHL hails from North Vancouver?
Martin Jones. Yeah. Went to the Winter Club.
Yeah, look at I see Nell Nelson's getting
in the winter club.
Yeah, Nell Nelson's getting cocky, and Toch's not big on the winter club, so he's PO'd now. Nelson, you've got everybody up against you, pal. But you're 2 for 2. If you can come up with the next answer, you are going to the concert.
No pressure, Nelson.
I like this one. Dollywell's been mentioning it in a sportscast. He misses most everything, but he's announced this a couple times. Who won the BC Hockey League title last night?
Oh, boy.
Hey, Nelson, not so cocky now, are you, buddy? Yeah, you're not giving us Martin Jones Winter Club.
No.
You got a lifeline with my colleagues here. Save me Cebulski or rescue Rick.
That lifeline.
I'm a big junior fan. I'll get you the tickets.
Who do you want, Rick or James, to help you out here?
I'll go with Rick.
Because Rick's going to tell you all about what product
never mind.
Is there.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Nelson, here's what you do. You go to Kamloops. And then you take the highway up north, all right? You get to Williams Lake. Then you get to Quesnel. What's after that?
Nelson's never driven
Prince George.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's the gold. That's how you bring the gold.
Okay.
Yeah, you do. Totsk, shut up. You're going to Kamloops.
Now, listen, you got it right, but now
Rick did.
Tots is going, you don't go to Kamloops to go to Prince George?
No, yeah, you do.
I think you do,
no,
do you?
Yeah, no, what are you talking about?
Unless you're taking the scenic route.
Unless you're going the other way to Cache Creek. You're not. No one goes to Cache Creek.
Nelson, you ever been to Prince George?
It's quicker.
I have not.
You have not. No.
He doesn't know squat, Silver Fox.
Buddy, I just drove up to Williams Lake last year.
You have to go to Kamloops, and then you take the highway.
Have to go to Kamloops.
Yeah, you do. The old highway through Hope goes to Cache Creek.
Nelson, you see what you've caused.
What are you talking about?
We're arguing.
Yeah, the Silver Fox. He doesn't know squat.
Nelson, we're going to see if you can get into the Hall of Fame, although you used a clue. We're going to see if you can go 9 for 9.
Okay.
All right. Who scored the winning goal in the Avs game last night?
Rantanen.
Yeah, you were up for that one. Hey, who played his last game in the NHL 20 years ago today?
Gretzky.
Yeah, Nelson's young, but he was throwing it out there. Yeah.
Can you qualify for the Hall of Fame if you've used
the lifeline?
Nelson,
how old are you?
24.
Yeah, see, you can't remember ever seeing Gretzky play, can you?
Yeah, I don't think I was old enough to remember.
Isn't Nelson, you ever been beaten up by Alexander Ovechkin?
No, wouldn't challenge him. Not cool.
Who did the Whitecaps play last night? Who'd they beat?
LAFC.
Oh, see, Nelson is in the groove here. When the playoffs open, who did Brian Burke pick to win the Stanley Cup?
I'm going to guess Tampa, and he was wrong, but I have no idea.
No, Nelson, you're correct. You didn't get this. We didn't ask you this. You could be one of the Hall of Famer. What two Canucks are going to Team USA in the World Championships?
I guess Hughes and Gaudette, maybe?
Thatcher Demko.
Of course.
Thanks for listening, Nelson. Stay on the line. Mike will get your info. You got tickets to the concert in May. Thanks, bud. Have a good day.
Well done.
Happy Easter, buddy.
There's no way Nelson wins without my tip. There's not a hope in hell. There's no way.
I don't know if I could argue that point. I believe you were correct in giving that tip. I don't know if that was Nelson's smart. He wouldn't fight Ovechkin.
You see here, clarification right here.
Okay, yeah, let's
right?
go to text
Dolly,
line, everybody.
No, bud. We Northerners go to PG by driving the canyon through Cache Creek, not through Kamloops, buddy. Have a good one, boys.
Okay,
see?
So hold it a second.
You'd be adding another two hours to your commute if you went through Kamloops.
Do you understand that old highway, how dangerous it is? Do you understand that the Coker Highlight, you're in Kamloops in 2.5 hours?
Soft.
Why would you go all the way around the mountains?
Because I don't have an extra 4 hours to spend on the highway to go around Kamloops.
If you had a CX-5 from Freeway Mazda, you'd take the old way because it's so good. It makes the ride so much nicer.
The kids with my Blu-ray player in the back of my Honda Odyssey.
I'll tell you, if you had a CX-5.
They block it all
how
out.
How long does it take to drive to Prince George?
Well, the Williams
Eight hours.
So...
That's a good hockey team. They put.
Williams Lake is.
Are they not struggling in Prince George or the Cougars?
Williams Lake's not 7 hours. It's closer.
Buddy, I just did it a couple times last year.
Totch, when you went and played in Prince George, in the dub, where the crowd's good. I mean, I've always been amazed how they can have two junior teams up there.
The Spruce Kings, I would say,
Kings
probably get more. Yeah. In actual people in the rink, it says PG always gets more of the Cougars, but no, the Spruce Kings have a much better following.
And they've been around. That junior A team has been there for decades. And, you know, I used to do play-by-play in that rink in Prince George. It is a beautiful rink. It's a good hockey town, and happy for the people of Prince George.
All right, 7:43 here on this Thursday morning. We're going to get Eric France is going to join us just after 8 o'clock to talk about what's going down with the Flames. Their backs against the wall facing elimination, down 3-1. But we're handing out misconducts in a moment.
Yeah.
And you know what? My misconduct is going to the fan you least want cheering for you. The guy that seems to be the jinx for everybody these days, and he jinxed another team again last night. We'll get into that next here on your home of Vancouver hockey, home of the Canucks, home of the Giants, Sportsnet 650.
Today at 1.
One pathetic loser.
They are a far cry from winning this morning. Game misconducts on the starting lineup on Sportsnet 650.
All right, Perry.
What do you got?
Real simple. Can I get a vibe in the background there, Totch, or no?
He might not have any audio for this because there's nothing to do with. We'll find it. You know,
well,
you want me to go first while you're there?
Nah.
Okay, you go.
Here's what I got. Drake. Drake gets my misconduct.
Why?
Hanging out at another sporting event, and the Drake curse lives on. So here's the Leafs getting spanked last night at home, and who's watching? Wearing a Leafs jersey. Drizzle. And earlier this week, you had PSG's Kurzawa. He posts a picture with the Canadian hip-hop icon. Next game, PSG destroyed 5-1. Roma actually took to Twitter and said, all of our players are banned from taking pictures with Drake. Look at this curse. The Raptors have been dealing with it since 2013 when he was made a global ambassador. Serena Williams was on the cusp of making history, being the first woman since Steffi Graf back in 1988 to win all four tennis Grand Slams in 2015 when Drake was following around watching all these games. What happens? She loses to a 300-1 underdog, Roberta Vinci, at the U.S. Open, squandering that opportunity for Serena. Conor McGregor hanging out with Drake before his big fight against Khabib. What happens to Conor? Got the crap kicked out of him.
Yep.
Do not hang out with Drake if you are hoping to win a championship. That is the lesson, people.
Alabama. Man, they were all on Alabama. I don't know if Drake can go to Alabama and have a concert there at the national championship game, rocking the Alabama hoodie, and then they fall to Clemson. It's all on Drake. It's a good point.
First name, I mean, greatest?
Here's the thing, though.
No.
I don't have a problem with him showing up in Toronto. That's your hometown. Rep the Leafs. Rep the Raptors. That's what it's all about. But he's showing up at too many big sporting events. He's like that casino guy or, you know, the on this Easter long weekend, the Jesus Saves guy who would show up all over the place, right? No. Where are you going to see him? Always
John
at a golf tournament, right?
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Drake's just got to stay in his hood, like we're in the hood of North Van for the next half hour. $500 up for grabs about your sports team. Just text at 650-650. But, yeah, a little too much as far as Drake is concerned. Quickly for me, my misconduct. David Price, a Major League Baseball player, the pitcher, pointed this out. You know, they had Jackie Robinson Day. There's been a lot going on this week. It should never be forgotten. We talked about it a little bit. But you know where it was forgotten? How did Major League Baseball only have two-thirds of the teams playing? If it's his day, if it's Jackie Robinson Day, then you schedule everybody to play and make sure that you teach everyone about Jackie Robinson. It's one day in the schedule. We talked about how complicated it is with the NFL schedule and it's released. You've got one day to look at in Major League Baseball where you say, we are going to celebrate this man and what he did for the game. Yeah, we'll have a handful of games on Jackie Robinson Day. The rest of you guys, you're not playing that day. No. As you put the schedule together, when's Jackie Robinson Day? All right, we're going to push that middle of April. All right, let's make sure in the middle of April we've got everybody playing on Jackie Robinson Day and make it the event it should be. They missed out. And David Price called them out on it, and he's right to do so.
And subtle, though, right? Like, it wasn't just, hey, next year, let's make sure that everybody's playing, right?
Yeah. Here's a mistake,
that's
and people
fair.
Can make mistakes, but, hey, let's do the man the right way, and let's make sure everybody's playing on that day.
If you're going to have a day.
Yeah. Half of us care.
And to where everybody's wearing 42 on the back.
That's how you get it across. Every highlight you see is 42, so then teach people. Oh, this is
then
why.
Don't give half the league the day off.
Yeah.
Right? If you're raising awareness for something.
And you're right.
Either you're in or you're out.
He did not go at him really hard. He just said, hey, I'm pointing out, man, two-thirds of Major League Baseball played on this day. It's Jackie Robinson Day. Make sure how difficult that we're all playing on that day.
Fair comment. Yeah. All right. We're going to head to Calgary where the Flames are damage control as they lost a heartbreaker last night to the Avalanche, squandering a two-goal lead and fell in overtime. Eric Francis, who covers the Flames for Sportsnet.ca, is going to join us in just a few minutes. We've also got an opportunity to hand out $500. North Van, we're going to check in with you guys as well, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour here on your home of Vancouver Sports, home of the Canadiens, Giants, Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
P and Rick Dollywall.
Ross Rantanen. Now they set. MacKinnon. Tyson Berry, MacKinnon to the circle up front, they score! Mikko Rantanen on the power play, and we're all tied up at two.
You can get down with this there, Ricky?
Very nice song.
Yeah.
Was this a slow dance song, though, in its day? Would you have slow danced to this?
No. No.
That's a tough call.
Because
right?
Then it kind of kicks up, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one to dance to on the dance floor.
It's just a little too much bounce to it, but it is kind of a ballad.
Yeah, right? I mean, it depends where you are, right? I guess if you're at school, you're at the bar, you usually just make your way to the bar for another one. Because you're feeling good.
Yeah.
And then you air guitar, right? I mean, at the end of the day, and you put the drink down and you play air guitar.
Yeah.
That's what.
Or just hold a lighter up.
Yeah, it can be. Look at you. Where did you get the full menu from White Spot?
They brought this in.
Brought it in?
Friends over at White Spot. No, they brought it in.
Okay.
And funny enough, I took the kids there to dinner last night, taking advantage of the hospitality card that was given to me at Christmas.
Yeah, because
you hung on to that for so long.
You're tight with Toygo, and he's giving you gift certificates.
There you go. I'm taking bribes. But they've got their new Avocado Beyond Burger. So they've got a plant-based burger now, much like you're starting to see pop up in different places, and it's excellent. And so they dropped off a bunch to us to sample this morning.
It's delicious.
And you know what? Perfect pregame meal as we get set for the Giants playoff run continuing. Man, it's been – Ricky, you talked about it, man. Like, what, 8 days I think they've had off now before they dropped the puck on the Western Final against Spokane?
Yeah, and that that series, Ty Smith is the best defenseman in the Western Hockey League for Spokane. And then you got this Bowen Byram kid who might go third or fourth overall in the NHL draft. I keep hearing the Russian everyone thought was
going to be. Ty Smith, a New Jersey draft pick, by the way.
A New Jersey first-round pick.
And then Jared Anderson Dolan, who was a second-round pick by the Kings. Kellen Tochkin on the other side of the glass, our resident Western League scout. You think he might crack the roster with the Kings next fall, right?
That's what John Rosen thinks, who's the LA Kings insider for Fox.
Well, he played five games this year. He surprised the camp. He's a very good player.
A lot of people, though, what you need to worry about with Spokane is they've been hurt all year. They are a very, very good team.
Very
healthy.
Well,
their general manager, Scott Carter, is a longtime friend of mine, whom I met simply because we had too much to drink in Penticton 30 years ago. Talked to Scotty yesterday. He'll be in Vernon, our Salmon Arm, rather, where midgets are going on because, you know, GMs are getting set for the draft, so he won't even actually be here for the first two games. Dollywell going, are you going to the game tomorrow, Dollywell?
There's a good possibility. I might hop in my CX5 Freeway Mazda.
I know Cebulski's taking the crew. I'm going there tomorrow. Like, what are you doing?
I got the option to go.
Mr. Junior Hockey.
Hey.
You always have the option to go, and you never go.
Hey, listen.
Anyway, Scotty doesn't do a lot of talking. We had a nice conversation yesterday. He says, this is going to be a heck of a series. We were just buddies talking, but he goes, this should be good. He goes, that's a good hockey team in Vancouver. He says, we're playing well. And we'll see. And it will be the center point of two really good defensemen in Ty Smith and Bowen Byram.
Tons of talent. Like, you could be looking at, you know, conceivably, you know, there's two first-round picks that you're going to see on display with Byram and Smith. And then you've got a second-rounder that has already got some NHL games under his belt. So it's a lot of talent on display front and center tomorrow with the LAC. Speaking of series, our Sportsnet 650 Twitter poll question this morning, we're asking you, which playoff series has been the most entertaining at this point for you? Is it the Flames and Avs, Jets Blues, Leafs Bruins, or Golden Knights Sharks? And this is also with apologies to the Canes and Caps and the Stars and Preds. Which one of these have you enjoyed the most? And right now, 32% of you say Leafs Bruins, 29% say Flames Avs, 22% are going Jets Blues, and a distant 17% for the Vegas San Jose series. But that Calgary, you know, a lot of people thought that Calgary Colorado last night was the best game of the postseason so far. That was back and forth, all sort fire wagon hockey, back and forth.
Imagine if you think of what could be the most exciting Stanley Cup final. I guess I'm spitballing and thinking as I speak, but the way the Avs play and how fast they are, how much fun would the Avs Isles be in a series? Just bunch of young studs who can go. And to me, that Flames Avalanche series.
But are the Islanders a fast-paced team? Like, they have everybody has been, but it's been more about what they've done defensively in their own end. They just have not given up anything.
Yeah,
right?
Systematically, they've been better.
They've counterpunched well, but are they fancy about it? I don't know. But they don't give up much. Ask Sidney Crosby.
You can bet that Travis Green is what, like he did last year and the year before, watching every game of the playoffs. And as they sit and they try to mold this franchise back into the playoffs, you look at that Colorado team, and they should be looking at that and saying, look at the speed. I mean.
Well, look, you know.
Yeah, but the Canucks should be looking at Colorado and saying, look at these guys. They don't got. They just got this speed that just causes tons of problems, and they got the skill, and they're not a four-line deep team, but they just bring the speed big time. And the Canucks should be looking to get faster this offseason.
But
instead, they're talking about, again, yesterday, Michael Ferland and Wayne Simmonds. Got to bring the grit.
Do you get faster when you start players? I think Pettersson is underrated speed. Brock Besser has said that's what he's going to be working on when he goes back. If I'm Travis Green watching the postseason and watching that Flames-Avs game and going like that, or Locke in Columbus, I'm just going, how far is the gap? Like it seems like it's a pretty big right now. Wow, that's we're not there yet, and I don't know how long it'll take us to be there. But when these guys dial it up to another level, there's a big gap still. They need to add a lot. Now, do you add a lot? Is Nathan McKinnon's been unbelievable. You know, 2 years ago, how different is he as a hockey player? I mean, we watched him a lot. You knew he was good. But, James, as you said earlier, I mean, he's just a dominating figure. And now for the next, you know, should be in that conversation of top three guys in the league for the next 10 years. And he's making $6 million, like, for the next 4 or 5 years. He's the best bargain in the NHL. This kid continues to light it up. Thing was Colorado. They jump on that plane and go to Calgary. They're oozing confidence. Young team with confidence, you can play a lot of hockey in April and May.
He's 23 years old still, Nathan McKinnon.
He's a first overall pick. You guys talk sometimes like he's a late-round pick.
Well, no. And you know what? I'll tell you why, Rick, because 2 seasons ago he had 53 points.
On the worst team in the National Hockey League.
In an 82-game season. So, you know, he looked good as a rookie, breaks into the NHL with 63 points, and I think that's pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty good comparable what Pettersson had done. And the following season, he misses almost 20 games, finishes with under 40 points. Like, didn't exactly set the world on fire, but it was the last 2 years that we've seen where here's a guy who was about 50 points a season, and then last year, 97 in the heart discussion, and then this season adds on that with two more points, finishing with just 1 point shy of 100 for the year. So, but the explosiveness that we have seen on display in this series has really made, I think, a lot of people, if you were unsure of just how good Nathan McKinnon was, you're finding out now. Hey, just real quick, you've got about 20 minutes here, North Vancouver. $500 up for grabs. We are in your hood. Today is the last call for North Van because it's a long holiday weekend. Tell us why your beer league team, your kids' youth sport team, your slow pitch team, Perry, 650, 650, where you can win 500.
Get it in. 500 coming your way. We'll make the announcement along with our friend Kirk McLean at the bottom of the hour. Right now, let's head to Denver, where a guy who's watched close up what Nathan McKinnon has been doing from Sportsnet is Eric Francis. Good morning, Eric.
The franchise.
How are you, boys?
Well, good. How much hockey? You think you're coming back to Denver?
Put it this way, I canceled my hotels. I do have flights booked, but I think they're going to have to get canceled too. I think people often forget the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of a series. And even though somebody could get blown out in one game, they could still come back the next game and look like world beaters. But in this series, that's three in a row where the Flames look like duds. And I've canceled my room.
What happened? What happened to Calgary?
You know, it's funny. I've been thinking about this, and I got to tell you, I think it should be more about what the Avalanche have been doing. The Avalanche have lost 2 games in their last 15. I don't think they're getting enough credit for just how incredible they've been playing of late. Grubauer's been, you know, the hottest goalie in the league outside of Binnington coming down the stretch. McKinnon did it all by himself in the last month. He got him into the playoffs all by himself, basically, because Rantanen and Landeskog took turns getting hurt, and this guy carried them into the playoffs. So you guys alluded to it off the top. I mean, this is Nathan McKinnon's coming out party to me. He's always been a great player, you know, Hart Trophy finalist last year and, you know, 99 points this year. But I really believe that I've heard from so many people, wow, like I knew this guy was good, but I didn't know he was this good. So I think it's more about giving credit to to the Avs and taking it away from the Flames. That said, the Flames' top line, completely invisible this entire series. And that's obviously a big factor in all this.
We had Brian Burke on the past hour, Eric, and we mentioned Johnny Gaudreau because I think in Calgary he's taken the brunt of the issue. Burke says, listen, it's just not going for him. He thinks Johnny has been fantastic as far as work ethic and trying everything. Do you see it the same way, or is it just natural he's going to take all the heat?
Yeah, I agree with Burke, I guess, in terms of, like, it's not a lack of trying. It's not a lack of effort. It's just, you know, Johnny Gaudreau is I don't want to say a one-trick pony because he's a dynamic player, but I'll give you an example. You know, the comparison between him and Mitch Marner, I think, is a pretty good one because they're very similar players, both speedy, small playmakers. Yeah, right now, Mitch Marner, they're ready to build a statue for him because he blocked a couple shots late in the game to win game three for the Leafs, and he's a hell of a back checker. Johnny doesn't have that in him. I've never seen Johnny block a shot, and I don't see him in his own end very often either. So if he's not putting up points, he can't contribute in any other way. And that's the bottom line. They've shut him down offensively, and he's unable to contribute any other way. So, yeah, he's taken a ton of heat. And really, you know, you come into this series, and him and MacKinnon both had 99 points this year. So the comparison is a good one. One guy has taken the series over. The other guy has completely disappeared. And the big concern really to me is that this happened 2 years ago when the Flames were in the playoffs. Johnny Gaudreau was invisible against the Anaheim Ducks, and the Flames got swept in four. And so I think this is going to be something that might dog him throughout his career. When the going gets tough, where does Johnny Gaudreau go? That's the big question.
Eric Francis with us here on Sportsnet 650. Eric, I look at it in the sense that you look at the speed that Colorado's generating, and, you know, we're focusing on what Gaudreau and maybe some of the other big guns up front aren't doing, but, you know, that back end, it looks like they're kind of getting caught in the skating in mud at times. Just is it the speed, or is Calgary getting a little exposed in their back end here?
I don't see it that way. I mean, I'm not saying that's not the case, but, you know, I think, again, I'll give more credit to, you know, guys like Landeskog and Rantanen, and even Alex Kerfoot's having a heck of a series, I think, and MacKinnon. It's that speed that maybe they're having a hard time, you know, kind of getting under control. The backbone of this team all year long has been their blue line, and I don't think that it's necessarily because they've not contributed. I mean, last night's game was, you know, it bounced back quite well, I thought, for the first two periods. But in the third, when the Avalanche needed to tie it up, they just took over. And the Flames have been on their heels the whole, you know, it seems like the whole series. I wouldn't blame the defense. But it is a point of indictment that Mike Smith faced over 50 shots the last two games. I'll give you that for sure.
If they're eliminated in the first round, we've seen it in Tampa, and some people going, what do you do with the Lightning? Well, you just have one of the greatest years. I don't think you do much. I think there might be a little more analysis in Pittsburgh as to what you do with that team. Brad's been very busy, Brad Schliving, every summer. It's kind of fun to watch how he tinkers. But there's no real moves to be made, Eric. Are there with this team in the offseason? Would you expect something, or you just have to chalk it up to you ran into a hot team, but you have built what you feel is a solid core in Calgary that will be able to compete for a while?
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night. You can write this down. TJ Brody will be traded. I think that will be the biggest shakeup this team will go through. Other than that, they've got to find a goalie. And there's an interesting debate. You know, I'd said going into the playoffs that Mike Smith could win the Conn Smythe Trophy and they could win the Cup with him as the starter, and they wouldn't bring him back next year. He's just so wildly unpopular in Calgary, which is just so ironic to say because he's the hero right now. I mean, I guess there's no hero when you go out and lose a series, but he's been the best player on the ice. I'm going to say he's been better than MacKinnon in this series. The only reason this, you know, the Flames have been in three of the games is Mike Smith. So I think they need a new goaltender to play alongside of David Rittich, and that'll be whoever that's going to be will be a significant add. And then TJ Brody, I think, will be traded. Not because they don't like him. I mean, he's wildly unpopular in Calgary as well, but he's a smooth skating, slick, you know, passing defenseman. I think every team in the league would be interested in a guy like that. But in Calgary, he's just too high risk, and he makes too many mistakes. I think they'll get a pretty good return from him. And I think that's the one way you shake this team up. Other than that, I think you're right. With Tampa, same thing. What do you really do to a team that won 50 games? I mean, I don't think you can change much.
No, and that's it. And that's where you look at, you know, Colorado, like you said, down the stretch, with two regulation losses in their last 15 games when you factor in the playoffs and the stretch run here to try to get into the playoffs. And this is, you know, this is a team that scuffled all year long. I mean, they had some great battles with the Canucks here earlier in the season, maybe the game of the year from a Canucks standpoint, back at the end of the beginning of November, the 7-6 overtime game. It was probably Pettersson's real coming out party for a lot of people around the NHL. But you look at how this team kind of sets themselves up, win or lose in this postseason. Eric, you look at the cap numbers that these guys have. You know, we were just talking about it a few minutes earlier. Nathan MacKinnon, 6.3. Landeskog's 5.5. I mean, Rantanen's going to get his money this summer, but boy, they are set up to have a lot of room. They got the fourth overall selection. They could also be active on the free agency market and even add to this team going forward because they got Varlamov coming off the books.
I got to tell you, I think that I agree with you 100%. This is going to be a force for a lot of years. That core is all locked up at very reasonable prices. And I could say the same thing about Calgary, too. Their core is locked up at very reasonable prices. They're going to have to pay Tkachuk as well, like Rantanen. But, you know, Cale Makar made his debut the other night. It's pretty clear he's going to be a stud in this league, and he's on an entry-level deal for the next 2 years. You know, they got the fourth pick overall at this year's draft. They've got five picks in the first three rounds this year. They're on the verge of being a real juggernaut. This is just kind of the tip of the iceberg, I think, for this Avalanche team. I totally agree. And Grubauer, you know, has emerged. He's been brilliant in this playoffs and obviously down the stretch. And I feel like if he could continue to be as impactful as he has been of late, they don't really have many weaknesses moving forward.
Eric, you're a Calgary guy. I'm sure you've done more than a few pieces on Cale Makar. What has he been like this past week? Is he just kind of quietly taking it all in? Has been there a lot of attention to him on his couple of games, debuting, scoring in his first one?
We laughed when he walked in for the first time, and you might have seen some of the posts on social media. I mean, there's Nathan MacKinnon. There's two reporters around Nathan MacKinnon, the star of the franchise. And there are like 40 reporters waiting for Cale Makar to come and stand in his stall. I mean, the attention on him has been intense. He's a pretty quiet, shy kid. And so he even told me yesterday, he says, I'm pretty excited, looking forward to when, you know, all this attention dies down and I can just kind of blend into the background. An interesting question we asked him, I mean, he's a Calgary kid and they go back to Calgary now. Are you going to stay at your parents' house or are you going to stay in a hotel? And he said, no, I can't be leaving the team now. I've only been here 3 days. So he's going to stay in the team hotel with them. But yeah, he's been brilliant. Like, I know he got a goal in his first game. That's pretty spectacular. Seven shifts in. Made some NHL history with that, but he's also just been really steady last night. I watched him a lot last night, and he's a really good player. I mean, he's going to anchor that blue line for many, many years.
Well, you checked out of the hotel, so series is done if you're not coming back. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't, it doesn't make it official, but, you know, for now, I've definitely checked out.
It's your spidey senses, right? Yeah. We'll take it. You're a veteran.
Well, so have the Penguins and so have the Lightning, so you're not the only one there, Eric.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. This is a great town. Denver is a phenomenal city. I don't know if you guys have spent much time here, but it's world class. So I'm hoping for a return, if for no other reason than selfish reasons. I love this town.
Oh yeah, a little run down Cherry Creek or whatever the creek is that runs
by the
downtown.
One of the great. But I'll tell you this: anybody who's ever been to the Edmonton Airport and try to commute into the city of Edmonton. That Denver commute makes
Edmonton
the
airport
look like
in general is hell.
Yeah,
in Denver.
That's far.
You nailed it. And the I-70 is under major construction right now. They say it's going to take about 10 years to fix. So I got to leave about 4 hours before the Earth flight today. So wish me luck.
There you go. I think anybody going through the Massey Tunnel this morning can appreciate what you're going through there, Eric. Thanks for this,
buddy.
Thanks,
Eric.
See you, boys.
All right, there he is. Eric Francis, Sportsnet.ca, covering the Flames and Avalanche series. And, you know, as much as we want to lament and pick holes at the Calgary Flames and what they're not doing, you know, Eric, who watches this team time and time again, and a guy who's probably as critical as anybody can be in the city of Calgary with that team, saying, hey, you know what? This isn't so much about what the second best team in the league has been doing all year. They're just running into a team that got hot, that has peaked at the right time, and they are one win away from bouncing the Calgary Flames.
Can we draw a parallel to the last President's Cup team that was eliminated in the first round in 2012? From 2012, when the Vancouver Canucks were the previous team that was eliminated prior to Tampa.
and lost to the LA Kings that went on to win a Stanley Cup. I mean, we covered that series. You just, what are they doing wrong? And no one got in the way of the LA Kings. They went on their run and won it.
Was Vancouver bad at that? No,
I don't remember Quick going there. They were terrible. Jonathan Quick was ridiculous, right?
And was his coming out party.
Yeah, and that was a team that just seemed to be in sync, and they ran over everybody and celebrated with the Stanley Cup. I think it's hard for everyone in Tampa right now. What happened there? Well, you ran into a really good Columbus team that made some changes and kind of took the time to get acclimated with the new players. I think it's always tough when you're the favorite to say it must have been us, rather than, you know what, we were okay, but they were just better. And right now, as Eric says, Colorado's better. So how does Treleving look at it? And it sounds like he's pretty much sure that TJ Brody is gone. That is a piece that you're going to be adding, a significant piece, wherever they feel they must if they move him. But tip your hat sometimes. And I know it's difficult when you go in as the favorite to go, we were beaten by a lower seed, but a good hockey team. Forget the seeds.
Yeah, it's you hear that term heavy in hockey these days, right? Yeah. The term, plays heavy. Colorado doesn't play heavy.
No. Nope.
They play with pace. Columbus played heavy. And Tampa, I think there were a lot of questions whether or not they could handle that. And they seem to have a little more bite. Look at the game that got all feisty filled here in Vancouver, right? Going back and forth with Tampa of all teams. But they just couldn't counterpunch that against a team that played heavy against them. You know, is that something Calgary does have? There's an element of heavy in their game. Like, they've got some of that.
But
that hasn't been the issue for this series.
His comparison with Johnny Gaudreau to Mitch Marner was, you know, similar type stature, same amount of points. And he said, you know, fair comparison. But he said Johnny Gaudreau doesn't play in his own end. Well, don't you have to, Johnny? Don't you have to learn how? I mean, Mitch Marner isn't paid to block shots, but he knows that this time of the year, you have to do something you're not used to doing. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to round out the game. If you can't score, how many times do you go, if your sniper's not scoring, the coach, you know, he's doing a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But if Johnny Gaudreau doesn't have those other things when he's not scoring, to me, I don't know if he's a complete hockey player. You can't win with that.
These are the learning lessons from young players, right, especially what it takes to win. It is 23 minutes after 8 o'clock, North Vancouver. We are going to hand somebody $500 this week's installment of In Your Hood. Plus, if you missed it earlier, Brian Burke talking on all things Stanley Cup playoffs and what Vancouver would have to give up for a first overall pick. All that and much, much more. All happening next here on your home of
Canucks Sportsnet 650.
Hold it a second. You know what I got on my right side?
What's that, Renee?
You know what I got on my left side?
When I first met you two clowns. When I first met you two clowns. When I first met you two clowns.
That's right. Brian Burke this morning called both of you clowns. This morning on this station. That's what I got
we
on my right side.
We get called clowns by people in the text world all the time.
When Brian Burke, second best GM in the history of the Canucks franchise, when he calls you a clown, it means something.
Put your text on it, as we're going to have a winner shortly for North Van. Put me in the draw. I coach a grade 11 or 12 baseball team. We're 0-6 to start the year. We could really use a win here. That's okay. Give them good speed. Is it the coaching? They're 0-6. Coach, is it you? Is it you? Coach, what are you using the money for? You need beers because you're going to go 0-7?
Going for a crate of booze.
Yeah, put your name in it. Then we'll have it. How does the Leaf fan, Steve, says, Renee Zellweger. Oh, he's on the peck of Renee.
Peck of Renee Zellweger, yes.
Peck of Renee Zellweger, good.
When Rick asked for wings, he ended up getting breasts. Island lover.
Hey, that's enough of that.
Island lover.
I've had enough body shaming in the last 24 hours. My goodness.
There's a reason why.
Now I'm not going to have any Easter bunny chocolate on Sunday. Any kids hanging around me are just going to go, hey, you're going to get some kale and spinach, bottom line. And that's just because an island lover's just piling on, man. That's too much.
I asked for winger, and I got breasts. And today I found out about Cool Sculpting, which is fat freezing. Freezes the fat.
You got to have kale, broccoli, and spinach
cool
every night. Bottom line.
Doesn't sound like Cool Whip? By the way, Brian Burke joined us earlier this morning.
Yeah.
He joins us every Thursday morning just after 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Wished us a happy bloody Easter. Hopefully not literally. Pondered on how the Canucks could possibly move up from the 10th spot at the NHL draft to even higher this June, and admits that he's absolutely baffled about what happened to Tampa, along with the Calgary Flames. They've got him scratching his head as well. Here's Berkey.
Till now, in games 3 and 4,
they were outplayed. They were much better last night, but outplayed badly. When your goaltender is averaging 50 saves over two games, and one of them's regulation, you've got to be concerned. I mean, they're giving up way too much. The goaltender, the only reason they haven't been embarrassed and eliminated at this point is the goaltender. He's been fabulous. But that's a hard way to live. You know, that's a really hard way to live. If you're a GM, that's how your hair goes gray in a hurry, if you're winning games that way and hanging on by your fingernails. I mean, that whole thing was white knuckle last night, even when they were up 2-0. So, no, I don't know if they survive Game 5. I mean, I just did the radio there, and there's only one thing you can do in an elimination game anyway, and it has ever been this way in pro sports, is, and it sounds like a cliche, but this is truly what teams do. They say, all right, we can't worry about Game 6. We can't worry about Game 7. We have to stay alive long enough to fight one more time, so we're going to focus on the next 60 minutes. And they were dramatically better. And they'll be better at home. My prediction is they will force a Game 6, but I just don't know if they have enough. Like I say, if you're winning on 50 save performances, that's hard math.
Yeah, well, no, and that's exactly it. And like you said, I mean, the question mark for the Flames going in was goaltending, and Mike Smith's been standing on his head. There were some other shockers from earlier this week that I think a lot of people are still trying to make sense of. Here the Flames are down 3-1. They're the second-best team in hockey based on regular season standings this year. The best team in hockey, a team that matched the most historical moment in history in the regular season with most wins, 62. They get swept in round number one. What happened to Tampa, Brian, from your standpoint?
I don't know, and I don't think anyone there has figured it out yet. This is – I've racked my brain to find a comparable beating – from an underdog. This isn't just David beating Goliath. It's him beating the snot out of him six times. I mean, I cannot draw a parallel. I've seen upsets. I think upsets are an important part of the playoff history of a sport. And had Columbus upset the Tampa Bay Lightning in seven games, you'd say, well, that's a shocker. But a sweep and no 50-save performances by their goaltender. They lost the first period in Game 1. They were down 3-0. And then since then, they've dominated every square inch of the ice. This is no fluke. This is no winning on lucky bounces. This is outplaying, outworking, outperforming an elite team every second and on every square inch of the ice. It's a thorough beating.
Brian Burke with us here on Sportsnet 650. I want to look at the Canucks here for a second based on what that logic and rationale is, because Jim Benning was recently quoted as saying, you know, he'd like to get a little bigger up front. They added Tanner Pearson. They add Josh Levo. They went out. They got Jay Beagle last year. They add a little more sandpaper with Antoine Roussel. Do you think the Canucks still need to get bigger and tougher?
Well, I think there's a few priorities, I think, for the Canucks. Do they need to be bigger and tougher or play bigger and tougher? I mean, I think Jake Virtanen has a chance to be, you see what Sam Bennett has evolved into with Calgary. I think if Jake accepts that role, he's perfectly capable of being a real quality contributor. In other words, a guy who can score 10 or 15 goals. He's got a great shot. He's got great wheels and he's hostile. So if he accepts that role, like you see Sam Bennett's been one of the best players in the Calgary series. He's crunching people and threatening to start fights, and he can chip in. He's got three primary assists. So I think Jake Virtanen, once he accepts his role, could be that guy, could be a very valuable player and bring size and bring hostility to the lineup. I think Roussel was a great signing. I mean, my criticism at the time was the term was too long, but he delivered value for sure in his first year. Beagle, I don't consider a hard player, but plays – like an intimidating player, but plays hard, plays the right way, good penalty killer. I mean, can you imagine if the Canucks had stayed healthy this year? You know, they had long-term injuries to Sutter and Berchi and Tanev and Edler, and I'm like, if they'd have gotten 10 more games even on each of those guys, they probably would have made the playoffs. So I think they're going the right way. Everyone loves Pettersson. We all know that. We could talk about him for the whole show. Bo Horvat had another good year and shows leadership skills. Brock Besser's getting better. I thought Levo was a great acquisition. So there's lots of positives, I think, at the end of the season. Are they big enough to win? Not yet. Are they skilled enough to win? Not yet. Because they're chasing teams that have been rebuilding for more years than they have. But I think they're moving the right way. Like, if I'm a season ticket holder, I see hope here.
Let me throw this at you, because for the last week since the draft lottery was held, you know, the Canucks land the 10th overall selection in June's draft here at Rogers Arena in Vancouver. You know, Jim Benning was even, you know, romanticizing the idea it would have been great to have Jack Hughes and to have him playing with his brother Quinn. You know, people have tried to throw out all sorts of hypotheticals and what it would cost. But if the Canucks were to move up to try to get a top three pick, realistically, Brian, what sort of
we got a problem with the line here, guys. I heard the first part of that question. That's it.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So humor me here for a second. Hypothetically, with the Canucks sitting with the 10th spot, you know, the idea of the Canucks moving up to the top two picks, what sort of package would it look like for Vancouver? Like, what would they have to give up?
Well, it's a good draft. Like, people forget the reason we were able to do this with the Twins was that it was the worst first round in the history of the National Hockey League. Like, go back and look. People, when you get to work, don't do this in your cars. When you get to work, look up the first round of the year the Sedins were drafted. It's a dog's breakfast. And that's the only reason that teams were willing to move picks. I'm no genius. I'm no, everyone says, oh, you were a magician at that draft. I'm like, no, it's a function of the reason Chicago was willing to trade us the pick was, A, we paid a horrible price tag for it. Brian McCabe in a first. I was sick about trading Brian McCabe. And the players were lousy. So the package to move up in this draft and get a shot at there's two really, really good players that everyone's talking about, but there's more depth as well. It's probably prohibitive. It's probably more than you should pay to do this. So in other words, you're doing it for the image. You're doing it so you can say, I did it. You're doing it so you can get up on stage and pick first and say, or second and say, here we are. We're the Canucks. We're hosting the draft. My guess is you'd overpay for a little bit of sizzle and flash, and that doesn't sound like Jim Benning to me. I don't think he's about flash. We did the Sedin deal because we felt there were the two best players and maybe the two only players in that draft that would be legitimate longtime NHL players, and we were right, except for Barrett Jackman and maybe one other guy.
There's Brian Burke in conversation with us earlier this morning here on Sportsnet 650, suggesting that maybe offering up a package to try to move up isn't really worth it based on the depth of this year's draft.
I think they'll stay patient. The only thing that would change, in my viewpoint, if Bowen Byram drops a little bit and most people think he is not getting past five, then I wonder if you know, a quick conversation is had by Benning to go, hey, how can we move up that number of spots to get in there? But for the most part, as Brian said, most people think it's a deep draft and they'll be able to get someone who can help them in that 10 position. But you never know. That's the excitement of the draft. But he probably pulled off the biggest heist of all. And maybe that's the bar, but the bar's probably too high for Vancouver to do it again.
It is 19 minutes to 9 o'clock. The playbook with Sat and John taking over at the top of the hour. You know what? Look, it's pouring rain out there today, and, you know, gridlock is a major issue, and it's partly why you guys can be such a captive audience each and every morning because of traffic issues. And we have finally identified the worst intersections in Metro Vancouver, the intersections that keep you listening even longer, Perry,
each and every morning.
We will identify those. You might be familiar with some of those.
I'll know where
we'll
some of
them
are.
Next, we'll check in on our Twitter poll question as well.
But right now, we want to join our friend Kirk McLean. Of course, Kirk with an ambassador for Key West Ford in New Westminster. We've teamed up with them. Been a lot of fun over the last weeks. We are going to Delta next week, but it's in your hood, and we have been in North Vancouver. Thank you for all your submissions. $500 up for grabs. How can it help your team? We've had some great submissions in to help teams that, you know, can get uniforms. They've been in a tough run. They just need a win somewhere. Kirk McLean with the winning submission now, winning $500 from our Wake Up in North Van from the starting lineup.
It's Kirk McLean for Key West Ford. On behalf of Sportsnet 650 and the starting lineup, congratulations, David Walker, and the under-11 Euro travel team from North Van. You've just won $500.
There you go, David Walker. Congrats to your Euro travel team. It's a group of U11s.
Tells you how much Kirk's won. Like, you can be so understated to just throw out $500 just so, hey, nicely done.
Little, it almost sounded like Kirk was pulling the Russell Wilson. Hey, Seattle, back.
Kirk was not pictured with Sierra in that.
No,
in
he
that
wasn't.
Audio, no.
But this is a young soccer academy. They've got a great month in front of them next month. Spain and Italy is where they get to go. They've been training hard, but they've been all over the place in North Van trying to raise money outside of stores, selling everything you can, looking for anything they can to offset the cost of this. It's a once-in-a-lifetime for them. How neat will that be? But we're helping your cause with $500. Thanks to our friends.
Didn't North Van live up to the hype there that we kind of
talked
about?
Yeah, we built it pretty high.
And just basically, hey, you know, it's probably an academy that is going over to Europe.
Yeah, well,
and
we
they
thought
can use an extra $500 to offset the $10,000 per player.
James, the great news now, though, is for you. Because I have no problem if you text us next week and, it's a soccer team. I coach a soccer team in Delta.
Yes.
And we would love to have a wrap-up party or want to give the coach, wasn't given his share, would like to buy him $500 worth of craft beer. Signed, James Cebulski. You're there. You are part of the sports scene in Delta. And Delta, it's on you beginning Monday, James. Spread the word in your hood.
It is a diverse region. North Delta, Ladner, Tawasin. Maybe we can try to unify Delta.
Are we
going to
need boundaries there, or is it 500 from everywhere? Because Dollywall always gets in the which Delta? Where are we? So we'll find out where it's going to be.
Well, he repped the north side, so.
I see this Terry in Richmond just texted in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read it.
All right.
I'm telling you both.
Okay. Well, let's we will get some final thoughts, check in on our Sportsnet 650 Twitter poll question, and the places that keep you listening the most here in Metro Vancouver. We will share with that all and more next here on your home of Vancouver hockey.
You're listening to The Starting Lineup with James Cebulski.
All right, you guys, let's listen up. We won a game yesterday.
Perry Solkowski.
We win one today, that's two in a row.
And Rick Dollywall.
We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
All right, pop quiz. What's the worst intersection out there in Metro Vancouver?
In Metro Vancouver.
Bottom of Canada Way.
Getting onto Highway 1?
That's crazy at times.
Yeah. A new list has with the most crash-prone interchanges in Metro Vancouver is out, and many of them appear to be close to Highway 1. Brunette Avenue off the Trans-Canada had the region's most collisions with 316 last year. Main and Terminal, number 2 on the list. They had the fewest of the worst offenders, 170 collisions in 2018. Just under one every 2 days, you're dealing with a crash there. There's some of the worst. A few other ones: Boundary Road at Grandview Highway, Broadway Street at the Maryhill Bypass, Kensington at the Trans-Canada, 88th and King George. Other intersections named by the company: Highway 1 in Willingdon.
Yeah,
in Burnaby, that was number 2 on the list. Knight Street and Southeast Marine Drive, number 3.
That can be nasty. I was driving by the other day.
That just gets bunged up. That's like a constipated intersection.
Mm-hmm. Arbutus at King Edward, Delta Brett just sent that in. Island Lover. For Perry, the intersection with a drive-through keeps him in the car longer.
Wow. Wow.
I'm glad I could laugh at myself.
Savage.
Just, wow.
Arbutus and King Ed, huh?
Yeah,
it's nasty. You know what?
Is there any
traffic is so bad here in North America?
Is there any traffic jams?
Bridges and tunnels
in Richmond, around Terry's house.
Terry's busy obviously today. He didn't get to us.
How is Richmond, by the way, not on that list at all?
Number 3.
Richmond,
road
which
is
could
a
be
disaster.
Well, that I'm just gonna say, like most people would argue that going into Richmond is a nightmare to drive half the time.
Oh.
And they're not on the list at all.
There's just before the tunnel I mean, when you're going southbound.
The tunnel is where, oh, well, you know what? How about Steveston?
Oh, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know,
that's crazy.
Steveston
area.
Road, which is basically, it might as well be a single lane road trying to get on a highway that is so backed up. Like, you do not want to get stuck, especially in front of the mall there.
Yeah. You remember John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band?
Yeah. They had a couple of decent hits.
On the dark side.
Yeah.
Isn't this from Eddie and the Cruisers?
Yeah.
No.
No, the movie. It was the movie Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah, it was Eddie and the Cruisers.
Pretty good flick, right? Little fictional band, right?
Aidan Quinn?
Very John Cougarish.
Very John Cougar. And that would have been the time, mid-80s, where yeah. It was rocking.
Well, he started in the late 70s, but you wouldn't know that.
Yeah, I won't be listening to any of that. I've got to, I got to do some this weekend. I got to go get my
go get some
frozen gel, whatever.
Go get some cold sculpting down to your,
I got a,
your chest area.
I got a foot massage planned at 11 o'clock, and then I got some steroids or something injected into my shoulder at
You're the
four.
Sammy Sallow of
oh,
this
I am.
Freaking
I'm
building.
Falling apart here, and the people are mocking me and taunting me, and I'm just trying to, I'm just playing the game. It's playoff hockey. I'm here. I'm playing a band up. I'll come. I'll come do radio on crutches on Monday.
He's going to play. He's going to play.
You're the Sammy Sallow of this freaking building.
Hey, what about you? Do you agree with what Leaf fan Steve is texting in here this morning,
What's
Ricky?
Steve saying?
I think Terry from Richmond should call in so Rick can nut up or shut up. Love you, Ricky.
If he called in, I'll walk. I'll walk. I told you guys right now. You guys, and says Bestie Tochkin, don't read his text. Don't egg him on. If you guys bring him on the air, I'm out of here. I'll walk. I'll walk.
Going to Richmond is like playing a video game. From Delta, Brett.
Could be. We have the Giants tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll
come
see you guys.
Come say hi to Cebulski at the Giants game. Leave me alone.
No, get Perry's autograph.
Oh, well, no. You know what? We're going to meet our. We're going to meet all the families are going to meet tomorrow.
Yes. Meet the Fockers tomorrow
yeah,
at the LEC.
Yeah, you're there, I'm there. We may as well go, oh, yeah, that's who's who.
Oh, they're on the other side of the ice. We'll just wave to them, honey.
Just wave
picture.
That's where you're sitting. That's good. There they Dolly, are. Well, yeah, you're welcome to come with us. Be a team player.
I'm going to hop in my CX-5 tomorrow, go to the Giants game. I'll be there.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Enjoy.
Happy chocolate. Later.